show. Head on to Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome to a brand new, shiny little week here on the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob. Great to have you alongside for the beginning. I hope you'll be here all week long. I'm going to try to be. A couple program notes before we do sort of get into the meat of things, as it were. I just said I hope I will be. Yeah, but I'm going to be on the road Thursday. If you recall, we have had some fantastic speakers provided to us by the Seneca 2 series, and the same is coming on this Thursday. So I'll be on the road to West Virginia State University in Institute, West Virginia, home of the Bayer Crop Sciences plant, where they still make and store methyl isocyanate, so toxic that even third world countries won't allow it to be made there, but it's okay, you can make it among the hillbillies, because we don't really count. I mean, you know, not as like Americans or anything, we're strictly expendable, we'll breathe your coal dust and your methyl isocyanate and do whatever you need to do to us to make a buck, that's okay. Sure thing. Why not? Yeah. Go ahead. So that's where I'll be Thursday, we'll be broadcasting it live, so there will be a show. It might not start till like 7 p.m. Eastern time, but we'll see what's going on, and maybe Mark Levine might be interested in covering an hour. And I'm sure you'll give him plenty to talk about. So that's what we're looking at as the week rolls on. Where to begin? Breaking news. Yeah, Senator Ted Stevens was found guilty on all the corruption charges with which he was charged. No surprise. The guy's so crooked, when he dies, they'll have to screw him into the dirt. But anyway, that's not the one that really said, "Start with me, Bob." No. Headline. ATF says it disrupted skinhead plot in Tennessee, Arkansas to assassinate Obama. You've probably seen this by now, but if not, the details are as follows. The NBC is reporting, as is ABC, Sky News, and several other outlets, that a plot by two neo-Nazi skinheads to assassinate Barack Obama and kill dozens of other African Americans has been foiled, according to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. This involves a 20-year-old by the name of Daniel Cowart of Bells, Tennessee, and Paul Schlesselman of 18 of West Helena, Arkansas. And they were charged this past Friday with making threats against a presidential candidate, illegal possession of a sawed-off shotgun, and conspiracy to rob a gun store. Well. On the one hand, it's easy to say, well, hey, they stopped it. You know, good on them. Had a way to be there, ATF guys. Yeah, thanks for taking it, but there's a problem. They found out by accident. This was not a case of law enforcement out there on the case, nose to the ground, bloodhounding away at the criminal element in the United States. No. Sorry, it wasn't. It was dumb luck. The ATF has said that they uncovered the story or the plot entirely by accident. They wanted to go, the two men wanted to go on a national killing spree that included an unnamed African American school and Obama as their final target. Listen to these geniuses. They planned to shoot 88 black people and decapitate another 14. 88 and 14 being very important numbers to Nazis, skinheads, and white supremacists. Yeah, they're into numbers. Special numbers. It would be funny if it weren't so damnably serious. Special Agent Kavanaugh, Jim Kavanaugh, in charge of the Nashville ATF field office, said, quote, they said it would be their last final act. Well, a last act would be a final act. You got that right there, Jim. That they would attempt to kill Senator Obama. They didn't believe they would be able to do it, but they would get killed trying. They planned to drive their vehicle as fast as they could toward Obama, shooting at him from the windows. Both individuals stated they would dress in all white tuxedos and wear top hats during the assassination attempt. Well, they were nicely accessorized then. I want this man, I want Barack Obama to be president of the United States. But God, it would be nice to know that the ATF, the FBI, and the Secret Service are actually on the damn job. Again, they found out, the ATF found out about this by accident. How many others are out there that they haven't found out by accident? Because you know that the right wing, knuckle dragon, mouth breathing faithful are going to be hopping up and down, and they're going to be in their little fundy churches, and they're going to be praying for the death of Barack Obama. You know it, because you know how these freaks are. Kavanaugh said there's no evidence that others were willing to assist Cowart and Schlesselman with the plot that they know of. You kind of got to add that they know of. Because they only, again, what happened is they were interrogating these clowns, or one of them, about another crime. And in the midst of the interrogation, well, that's right, and you know what else we was going to do? We was going to blow away Barack Obama, that Muslim terrorist. At which point, Johnny on the spot, Agent ATF, says, oh, really? Do tell. And so they spilled their guts, because they're proud of themselves. This goes hand in hand with something that I saw earlier in the day that was up at Amazon.com. I said Amazon.com. A rubber Halloween mask in the likeness of Barack Obama. How was it labeled? It was labeled terrorist mask. Yeah, really. And part of the tag cloud that went with it was Arab, Muslim, Arab terrorist. It has since been pulled, but the screen caps are out there if you want to go and see it. Now, it is 8 days until the election. By this time next week, this entire country should be vibrating like a struck tuning fork. And likely will be. And the right-wingers are getting more and more desperate and more hateful. And you can't help wanting to ask Sarah Palin whether Schlesselman and Cowart were domestic terrorists. Now, remember, she doesn't think that somebody who bombs an abortion clinic and kills doctors or nurses or people, women going for health care issues. No, they're not terrorists to Sarah Palin. And you can't help asking, whether these two would be either.
Oh, you know, I think they're a little misguided, don't you know? But, yeah, misguided, you betcha. But no, no, I don't know that it serves any purpose to label them as, with something like terrorist. What good does that do now? Don't you know?
Because that's what she did with the abortion clinic bombing question. You see, in her sad, sick, vacuous mind, Timothy McVeigh wasn't a domestic terrorist. He was just a misguided American who took the law into his own hands. You'll notice they don't ask her about whether Timothy McVeigh was a domestic terrorist. Because the answer, well, the McCain campaign doesn't want her giving that answer. Because it's a no-winner. On the one hand, if she says, yes, he was, then she loses a whole bunch of her base. The hardcore right-wing jumping up and down, knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing, pig-lickings. And if she says, no, he wasn't, then the world sees her for the nut job that she is. Because at this point, and I don't know if you saw the stories over the weekend, I assume that you guys read the entire internet over the weekend. But the campaign is beginning to consume itself, sort of like some sort of internal sickness, which it is, all by itself. But the McCain people are turning on Palin, and the Palin people are turning on the McCain people, and she's not talking to anybody, unless it's Elizabeth Hasselbeck about her clothes. Phew. I wish I was kidding. With some saying that she has, what's the phrase, gone rogue. She's gone rogue. She's like a bull elephant, wandered off from the herd and just thundering over the savannah. Well, an elephant is the symbol of the Repig-Licking Party, so maybe it's appropriate. Yeah, she's mad at them for what they call, was referred to as a bad rollout after the convention. Well, could there have been a good rollout for Sarah Palin? She's a moron. I mean, a real dumb, stupid, and so desperate at this point. Oh, my God, did you hear this audio? So desperate that she's out there actually... She did everything but call Barack Obama a communist. I mean, they've been using socialist for a while. But this is just stunning. I mean, listen to the terms that she uses.
See, under a big government, more tax agenda, what you thought was yours would really start belonging to somebody else, to everybody else. If you thought your income, your property, your inventory, your investments were yours, no, they would really collectively belong to everybody. Obama, Barack Obama has an ideological commitment to higher taxes. The lessons I believe that we have taught our kids would start to erode. Those lessons.
That's right, Redneck America. Barack Obama's going to get your four-wheeler. You betcha. And your investment portfolio, you know, all them stock, yeah, Jesus.
Lessons about work ethic, hard work being rewarded, and productivity being rewarded.
Time out. That American work ethic about productivity being rewarded. Remember what Joe Vecchio used to say? Every time he heard that word productivity, he just wanted to scream. Because that means working more for less money? Well, it is. And then that's what the right wing, that's what the Repig-Licking Party does. Keeping your own... Wait a minute, what was this?
The lessons I believe that we have taught our kids would start to erode. Those lessons about work ethic, hard work being rewarded, and productivity being rewarded.
Now, call me crazy. But doesn't the Pig-Licking Party pitch a fit every blessed time we talk about trying to raise the minimum wage? I mean, did I hear that? Because that is what they do, don't they? They resist higher wages. They have taken money out of the public treasury and out of working people's pockets to give it to the richest people in this country. And she has the nerve to stand in front of one of these freakish crowds and tell them that Obama's going to collectivize their earnings and their property? See, there's a continuum that flows from her and the hate-filled, vile, ignorant fools who attend those rallies that winds up in an ATF office with Schlusselman and Cowart. You can't convince me otherwise.
And lessons about the virtues of freedom and independence while being generous and compassionate with others. Higher taxes, more government, misusing the power to tax leads to government moving into the role of some believing that government then has to take care of us. And government kind of moves.
And then, now, wait a minute. I thought she was going to be four square behind a government program for special needs children. Isn't that the government taking care of us? But again, this is all part of the meme of how Repiglicans talk to each other. They don't talk about us or our government. They talk about the government. You see, they view themselves as entitled to do as they wish, to whom they wish, when they wish, with no interference from we the people. Pay attention. Notice that sometime. I did not too long back. If you hear a Democrat, for instance, discussing governmental issues, you'll hear things like our government, our country, we. When a Republican talks about it, it's they and them and that and it. As if the government is their enemy. And it's not as if, because the government is their enemy. It's not idle chatter when Grover Norquist says he wants to drown the federal government in the bathtub. It was not just campaigning when Ronnie Reagan said the nine most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help mommy." That's 10, mommy. They really, really believe that. Because as long as the government is acting as a mediator to make make some semblance of fairness for everyone who is an American, that means that the Repiglicans can't steal everything that they can get their hands on. Let's finish this out.
Moving into the role as the other half of our family, making decisions for us. Now, they do this in other countries where the people are not free.
So what did I tell you? She did everything but call him a communist. And that certainly is the implication. They do this in other countries where people are not free. What she means by this is that the government is proactive in protecting all or doing its best to protect and provide for all of its citizens. You know, health care, meaningful pensions, on-the-job safety, the monitoring and enforcement. Yeah. In other words, Sarah Palin just said that the United Kingdom is a communist country, that Sweden is a communist country, that France is a communist country, that, yes, Australia is a communist country, Canada is a communist country. Really. Really and for true. Those people are not free. This is the desperate raving of a woman who wants that tiara so
bad she can feel the bite of the pointy little crown tops and the little hair barrette thingy that will put it into her little updo. She can feel it in her hands. And she wants it.
She's a little bit like Mike Huckabee. She's a lot like Mike Huckabee. If she was to become Vice President of the United States, her prayer every evening, and she would be praying, would be, "Dear God, let the geezer croak tonight." Yep, people in those countries are not free.
Let us fight for what is right. John McCain and I, we will put our trust in you, not in government. We will let you keep more of what you...
You stupid twit, they are the government. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union... You know the drill.
But it's what I just said. We trust you, not the government. Republicans are anarchists, aren't they? And not the good kind. Kind of hard to avoid that conclusion, isn't it?
Earn and produce so that you can grow and thrive and prosper. We will fight for you. We will put our country first.
We will fight for you. We will put our country first. Well, if you're going to put your country first, Sarah, that means you're going to need government. So what's it going to be, the people or the government? Can't have both. 8 days. 8 days. 8 days. 8 days, and maybe, just maybe, this vile, filthy, disgusting woman goes off to the ash heap of history and becomes a footnote. One of the things that the American people got right when they rejected her and her fascist tendencies. See, she is a fascist, and I can prove it. Saying that a guy who grew up relatively poor, worked his way through college, got incredibly good grades, became the first African-American editor of the Harvard Law Review, went on, worked in his community, tried to better other people's lives. Saying that that guy is a communist is nothing but idle fear-mongering among idiots. To say, however, that Sarah Palin is a fascist, that is entirely another kettle of fish. Because, you know, those 14 defining characteristics of fascism with which you are all so familiar, she fits a bunch of them. Yeah, bless her heart's Dookie the webmaster over at WD40.com asked that question with regard to the assassination plot story. Who's the terrorist again? Because they come out of those rallies and they are empowered and emboldened. And that's why it falls to us to resist it. Now, I got an email from our buddy Marty out in California. And he says, "Call me cynical if you like. However, considering the lies of this government, I can't help but wonder if this a few lone nuts, an RNC-affiliated conspiracy grown from McPalin rallies, or another kind of conspiracy designed to further isolate Obama from we the people in the name of protecting him from assassins. Or to borrow from Obi-Wan Kenobi, your eyes can deceive you. Don't trust them." I see your point, Marty. And, you know, there's got to be, look, he's human. There's got to be a psychological effect to hearing this. And see, that's the thing. Over the last 8 tortured years, how many plots were uncovered to kill George W. Bush? Not many that I can recall. Not any that I can recall. because we're not like that. We're liberals. We don't grow terror groups. Even when somebody does something like that, it's usually not done to a person, it's done to a thing. So the question is, how will we deal with it? How could Obama not be unnerved by all of this? God knows it would unnerve me. Would it you? I don't know. But you know, numbers being numbers and statistics being statistics, the fact that the ATF stumbled into this plot, like I said, makes you wonder how many plots they haven't stumbled into. Because, well, frankly, you wonder if they want to. Remember the story earlier in the year about the Secret Service supervisor, was it, who used lots of fun epithets? Yeah. You got to wonder if they want to catch him. So, you cross your fingers. 8 days. 8 days. 8 days. And maybe, just maybe, we can start moving forward. And just a reminder, of course, we will have ongoing election coverage Tuesday night, the 4th of November. We will have it, Guy James will be on the air with his show, then Mark Levine with his, then me with mine, and then toward the end of mine, polls will start closing. And with any luck at all, Mark and John and Guy and I will get together from 9 o'clock on, and hopefully you as well, sharing your election day experiences. And we'll stay here until we've got a pretty good handle on who's won and why. David Swanson wrote something fairly profound, and David's a friend of the program, and he does just stunningly good work trying to energize real liberals. But in regard to next Tuesday and the election results, he said, if your television declares John McCain the president-elect on the evening of November 4th, your television will be lying. You should immediately pick up your pre-packed bags and head straight to the White House in Washington, D.C., which we will surround and shut down until this attempt at a third illegitimate presidency is reversed. We may be there for days or weeks or months, but we must be there. We must be there by the millions. We must show each other and the nation and the world that we have had enough, that we will not stand for one more stolen election, that we will not give in to fear, lies, theft, and intimidation. Hear, hear, David Swanson. Headline from The Telegraph in the UK. Police fear riots if Barack Obama loses U.S. election. U.S. police fear riots could break out if John McCain, the Republican presidential candidate, wins the election next month. Law enforcement officials say the intense public interest and historic nature of the vote could lead to violent outbreaks if people are unhappy with the results. B.S. Not unhappy with the results if people realize that, as David Swanson noted, it has been stolen from us again. And I'm not trying to be all negative and stuff. But there is reason, there is abundant reason for worrying about something like that. CNN reports, and I got this story earlier today in my email, thank you very kindly. College senior Kyla Berry was looking forward to voting in her first presidential election, even carrying her voter registration card in her wallet. But about 2 weeks ago, Barry got disturbing news from local election officials. Quote, "This office has received notification from the state of Georgia indicating that you are not a citizen of the United States and therefore not eligible to vote." A letter from the Fulton County Department of Registration and Elections said. Barry is, however, a United States citizen born in Boston, Massachusetts. I know some people in Georgia might not think that that's the United States, but that's been a long-held attitude, and we're working on it. She has a passport and a birth certificate to prove it. The letter that she was sent was dated October 2nd, and it gave her a week from the time it was dated to prove her citizenship. The letter, however, was postmarked October 9th. So the appeal period had already run. So it doesn't look like Kyla Barry will be voting in Georgia or anywhere else in the United States on Tuesday. More than 50,000 registered Georgia voters have been flagged because of a computer mismatch in their personal identification information. Of those 50,000, 4,500 are having their citizenship questioned, and the burden is on them to prove eligibility to vote. Anybody still want to talk about landslide? These dirty, rotten, filthy bastards are going to fight all the way to the last voter. You know, what does that mean? Flagged because of a computer mismatch in their personal identification information. How did that get mismatched? Where's the mismatch come from? Who provides the database that makes the mismatches happen? Listen, I'm no computer engineer or software guru, or I can't write the first line of code. But I got enough common sense to realize that when there's a mismatch, there has to be something being matched to. What is that, and why is it there, and who provided it? Now, Wendy Weiser is an elections expert with New York University's Brennan Center for Justice. She said, "What most people don't know is that every year elections officials strike millions of names from the voter rolls using processes that are secret, prone to error, and vulnerable to manipulation. That means that lots of eligible voters could get knocked off the voter rolls without any notice and in many cases without any opportunity to correct it before Election Day." Now, the real reason behind this, you do legitimately purge voter rolls of, like, dead people or people who have changed districts or moved out of state or out of county. That has to be done. But that's not what we're talking about here. No. She says the problem is it's not necessary to do inaccurate purges that catch up thousands of eligible voters without any notice or any opportunity to fix it before Election Day, and really without any public scrutiny at all. There's a reason they do this, in other words. And for them, it's a damned good reason. Repiglickens never succeed, or the Repiglicken likelihood of success goes down as a function of a rise in voter participation. Low voter turnout favors Repiglickens. If the Republican Party could control the weather, there would be 12 feet of snow across the entire United States on Election Day, and they would pray that that would keep enough people away from the polls to make it possible for them to hold power. Kyla Barry, she's going to have to cast a provisional ballot. Then county election officials will determine whether they actually count the ballot. She said, "I know this happens, but I cannot believe it's happening to me. If I weren't allowed to vote, I would just feel like that would be the worst thing ever, a travesty." So there you've got somebody who's probably 21, 22 years old, has never voted in a presidential election, wants to participate in the process, is a citizen, meets all the voting criteria, and good old red state Georgia is going to do everything in its power to keep her out of the booth. Why? Because their things are not looking good for the Republican Party, even in a place like Georgia. And every state will be contested to one degree or another. And not the state so much as the individual voters. Because they have to steal votes and they have to steal elections in order to have what they call success in a plebiscite. This in via email, David in Tennessee says, no, Bob, Obama isn't unnerved. He's aware, but he's not unnerved. Undaunted, he is. Why? He has a model and counselor for such an outlook, Martin Luther King Jr. Yeah. Because Dr. King was not unnerved either. And those men are made of sterner stuff than I. Because knowing that, Lord, you see him out there standing, 100,000 people in Denver. And knowing that, I don't have ice water in my veins, and that would decidedly rattle me. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to, darn it. You got to give me a minute to finish the thought. Come on. But these stories are cropping up all over the country. New Mexico? Yeah, this is a charmer. In New Mexico, a Republican Party attorney, a lawyer by the name of Pat Rogers, is refusing to say whether he sent a private detective to question, query, harass, and otherwise intimidate 10 Albuquerque, New Mexico voters. God. That makes me bananas. When asked by the New Mexico Independent newspaper if the private investigator worked for Rogers' law firm, Rogers said, I have no interest in responding to Acorn's accusation. Huh? What? They then told him that the accusations came from the voters themselves, not from Acorn. And Rogers then said, well, you need not to accept what Acorn says. I'm not responding to any questions. I'm not being quoted. This is off the record. Dummy, you say off the record first, not later. You can't call do-over. This ain't stickball. Of course, it's not the people being intimidated. I'm going to the phones in a sec. People being intimidated are not named Smith and Jones. Guadalupe Bojorquez said a man who identified himself as a private investigator by the name of Al Romero visited the home of her 67-year-old mother on Wednesday. She calls me and she's panicked because there's this man outside and he's telling her he's an investigator and he wants to come into the house. Her mother put the man on the phone. I asked him, but he wouldn't tell me who he worked for. He just said he wanted to verify that she was a legitimate voter and he wanted to see her documents. I told him no, and we argued for a little bit. He said, you have to realize we're just trying to protect the people. We just want to make sure that she's a legitimate voter, and if she votes and she's not supposed to, then it's illegal. He was pressuring me so much that I told him that she's not going to do anything until she speaks to her attorney. Eventually, the guy coughed it up and said he works for Pat Rogers, the Republican lawyer. What a sick... He's also made claims of voter fraud in 2004 and 2006. He was one of the New Mexico GOP activists who complained to the Department of Justice about David Iglesias, the U.S. attorney that got the boot for not prosecuting Democrats. Right. Hene Griego told New Mexico independent, that she was visited by a private investigator, too. Her grandmother, Emily Garcia, was one of the people whom Repiglikins described last week as an ineligible voter. She said, I asked him if he had a badge, and he pulled out a white and blue laminate card with a name on it. It wasn't even a badge, but it said, Al Romero, private investigator. Epstein's mom. Jesus. He came in, and he started asking me about my grandmother, and I was trying to tell him that she didn't live here. He's like, okay, so let me just write some stuff down. He tried to tell me to tell her to be careful when she's voting. He was trying to tell me stuff to scare her from voting. We're dealing with monsters and crooks. And, you know, there is a remedy to these people. They're coming on other people's private property. And hang up the no trespassing signs. I'm serious. Do you live in one of these places where they're contesting stuff? Get a no trespassing sign and put it out on the edge of your property or on your door if you're in an apartment complex. At that point in time, you have certain rights dealing with trespassers. As I understand it. Lord, I guess I'm lucky that I vote in a little place that doesn't appear to matter, and I'll go and cast my Obama ballot, and nobody's going to question me because I'm real nice and white, see? And I don't know how people who are subjected to this stuff deal with it without resorting to violence. Because I truly fear that I would. Hey, welcome to the program.
Gonzo Greens, how's it going there, Big Bob?
Hey, what's happening, Spike?
Yeah, not much. I'd just like to point out, by the way, I made a prediction sometime back on the show, and should the Phillies win, it would be absolutely right tonight. So.
Yeah, you said Phils in five, didn't you?
Against the Rays, yep. So.
There may be a future for you in sports betting.
Well, it might be about the only industry that'll be left in this country is compulsive gambling.
I know there's
odds
right
on the presidential election, so. Hey, I got to mention, too, what you were just talking about with going to people's houses and all that jazz, trying to intimidate them, not voting, you know, searching, quote, voter fraud. First of all, that sounds an awful lot like a tactic that was being used by the Minutemen, the wackos watching our borders for alien invasion.
Oh, yeah.
They did the same thing where they were checking people to see if they were illegal immigrants or not. So it's interestingly very similar.
And a similar neck of the woods, too, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. But I guess that goes hand in hand. Also, the reports today now that they arrested a couple of white supremacists who were trying to plot to assassinate Obama.
Right.
Get ready. 6 years ago, I can't remember who wrote the book, but someone wrote the book about, it was a book bigger than probably anyone's phone book, listing all these things in America, all these white supremacist groups that had all types of like gases and weapons of mass destruction, and could strike at any moment, and they were a bigger threat than Bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. And I got a bad feeling we're going to see a lot of them very soon. This is probably just the beginning of it. So. Well, we might see a larger good side in this country. I'm afraid the very dark side may show its ratty figure soon enough to the public more and more. So, you know, I know I'm not alone in that, too. I saw a story on Al Jazeera, of all places, and they were showing some guy who was a pro-Obama person protesting McCain, and he said he's afraid it's going to
be some violence. I ran some of that audio the other night. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm a little apprehensive, you know.
I'm a lot apprehensive. I mean, these are thugs and criminals, and I agree with David Swanson. If they steal it again, by God, we ought to surround the White House and not leave until they admit their crime. Because I don't know, Spike. on the one hand, the grumpy dingbat ticket seems so inept that you can't imagine them actually managing to win. On the other, however, you know that there are people behind Grumpy and Dingbat who are competent to steal elections. I mean, there's votes flipping all over the country on these stupid electronic machines. And part and parcel of that is that all it has to do is get down to a nice, narrow percentage, and then the racist vote kicks in, and boom, done.
Yeah.
So, it is not safe to assume anything. It is not safe to, that word, that landslide word, stay away from that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to see a 10, 15, 20 point victory, 20, percentage points. And it may happen. It would be good if it happened that way, simply because it's so damned hard to steal them that way. But I think that's where all these votes are being disappeared to, is to cut that number down to something that the Republican Party considers to be manageable.
Yeah. Well, yeah, my fear is the race factor might become too large come crunch time. And that's actually these racists groups going nuts right now is actually the number one reason I'm casting a vote for Obama. You know, there's so much I disagree with him on, but I don't want to let these dimbat, the dull knives don't need to be running the show.
No.
That somehow Sarah Palin's got them really all worked up.
Well, this campaign's become about her, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, let's be real. If anyone has the chance of Reagan was a nightmare in office health-wise, and he didn't even go through what McCain went through. You know, so McCain is at a higher risk of perhaps not serving the full term. So, rightfully so, we should really look at her. Right? If that ticket wins, the next day, you should seriously consider your normal theme, open with AC/DC Highway to Hell, because that's the precise direction we will be on if that's the ticket that prevails.
Well,
I know that's unusual to request a new theme, so I just want to say that that's the best way we could sum up what a potential President Palin future could bring us.
It's truly gut-rumblingly disturbing. I mean, I know people are talking about, where they'll go or what they'll do, and I can't blame them, but God, is Spike or the American people so passive now that we will let them do that? That we'll let them steal an election?
Well, they haven't paid attention.
I mean, I know, we let them steal. We let them steal 04 and 2000.
Yeah. I think there was a Dan Aykroyd line from a movie, the American people don't pay attention, that's what makes them the American people, or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much about right. The country just, in cruise control mode. I don't even know if that's how you'd want to describe it. It's almost like a lithium nation, basically.
Well, cruise control's we're on cruise control on icy roads covered in glass
with big cliffs and
to either side.
That's about right. And sadly, most people will just veer off the edge. But I'm hoping, I think we should get a decent victory in Pennsylvania. It looks pretty promising for the most part. The GOP is using some pretty desperate tactics here. They really lack a ground game. Hearing pundits say that, essentially what that means is you're really hard pressed to find any of their volunteers anywhere. People walk everywhere handing out stuff for Obama, going door to door. The McCain campaign is basically a couple of old ladies in an office handing out yard signs. I mean, that's literally what it is.
Well, what is this story coming out of Pennsylvania, Spike? about a lawsuit by the NAACP. Have you seen this?
Well, there was one in my county.
Neither the DNC nor the Obama campaign has been willing to stand up for voters. This is what Cindy's telling me. To demand that emergency paper ballots be made available to voters in PA before every machine in a precinct breaks down, that the same was decreed a month ago by Pennsylvania's Democratic Secretary of the Commonwealth, and nothing, there's been no action taken on it.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, our executive is fast Ed Rendell, and when he's not on Fox News hamming it up, or having off-duty state troopers speed him in a state-owned Cadillac up and down the highways, or doing the Eagles post-game. Occasionally, he does do his job. Not very well even when he does that. Definitely a disappointment of a Democratic governor. It makes me long for the Bob Casey senior days, to be honest with you. And I know my county doesn't have any backup. Their backup is we have extra batteries, is their claim as their backup. Which,
well, I mean, that's a that's a legitimate question. You know, what happens if the power goes out at a precinct?
Yeah.
What happens to the memory in the machine? How, you know, what kind of power backup are these things on? And nobody seems to know.
Yeah. Well, I know at least you won't have any problems in Wayne County with machines. That's the one county in Pennsylvania that's still. They couldn't afford, or something went wrong with the machine deal, buying the new mandated machine, so they've switched to just doing paper, which, by the way, not too much can happen unless someone throws stuff out there. So, in every county, it's different types of machines. It's not even like state mandated machines, too. It's by county, which is even a bigger mess, because counties just are not equipped to handle major elections. The presidential election should, really, the federal government should be running it, but at least the Commonwealth here should be running it, but, the Commonwealth runs the liquor stores here, but yet they can't seem to run election machines.
Oh, God, that's right.
People think that's a joke. That's the God's honest truth. The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania owns the liquor stores, basically. They've only recently done a little bit of...
You can't even buy a six-pack in PA. You can't buy a six-pack in the grocery store, can you?
You can now, but it's weird. Okay. Like, it's in a certain part of the store, and you have to leave out, like, a side door, like you're some spy operative who just got...
And then put on a rubber mask and sneak in.
Growing up here, I feel weird when I go down south and I go to, like, a 7-Eleven and I can buy a cold case to go, you know, right off the highway. That's kind of alien in Pennsylvania, so...
Well, I just remember being up there years and years ago. Well, you know, Morgantown was only 11 miles from Pennsylvania, and the prices were better in Pennsylvania. You had to go to a so-called distributor.
The beer distributors are run by private people, yeah, and you go and buy a case. And then they silly beer to go laws in Pennsylvania too. You can only carry 2 6-packs out of a time out of a place that sells 6-packs. But essentially, you could buy like 4 cases worth. You just have to make a million trips. I don't know who they think they determine.
You know, you're proving that the South doesn't have a lock on stupid liquor laws.
Yeah, oh, no. I mean, we don't do the mini bottles, although the mini bottles, like South Carolina does, that is kind of cute to see just how much you boost it up. But, the liquor stores until recently were closed on Sunday because, you know, Pennsylvania basically used to...
No, we, now you can't, you cannot buy liquor in this state on Sunday. You can buy beer and wine, but not liquor.
In some parts of the state, you still can on Sunday, but, you know, bigger places, they changed that, mainly because the guy Rendell put in charge of liquor sales here used to be the Republican mayor of Easton in Goldsmith, and Easton had a fruit bridge in Phillipsburg, New Jersey, so on Sundays, everyone would just go to New Jersey from Easton and buy booze, and the people in the liquor stores used to laugh and say they saw nothing but PA licenses on Sundays. None of the locals came out. And so basically, you know, to compete with people literally leaving the state to buy alcohol on Sundays, they started loosening up where basically border towns, liquor stores, they could stay open on Sundays so people don't go to Jersey or places like that.
Yeah, well, there's Lottie in the chat room saying, I thought Massachusetts had the lock on stupid liquor laws. It's a reflection on what we prioritize. Like you said, you know, the state can run the liquor business, but they can't run an election?
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, well, keep in mind, our legislation here has been exclusively almost all red counties, aside from, you know, maybe Allentown area, the Lehigh Valley, maybe the Philadelphia area, maybe the city itself of Pittsburgh. Other than that, usually, the, you know, when you look at county by county for state representation in Harrisburg, it's all red. So, I mean, these are all legislation they've held for so long here. And you know, not to mention, we did have almost two full terms of the first head of the Department of Homeland Security, Tom Ridge, you know, the guy who had the red-green show solution to fighting terrorism with some duct tape. So, this state has been kind of run down the wrong road for quite some time now, sadly. And I just hope things go well with the election. But I got a bad feeling that there will be some shenanigans at the state, since it's somehow seen as a swing state, even though H.W. Bush, his first term was the first time, or the last time anyone voted Republican into the White House from Pennsylvania. Ever since then, since Bubba, it's been going blue in Pennsylvania, but somehow we every year we're deemed a swing state. I don't know. I've never understood that. So I think they're focusing now, putting the shenanigans in Pennsylvania, and they have Ed Rendell, you know, overlooking things. So they have someone that might let it slip right by, since he really is not a, he's a Democrat, but he's not a liberal by any stretch of the imagination. Great sports fan, but not a great guy.
Great guy to sit down and watch a game with, but yeah. Well, you know, but you've got Arlen Specter there, Republican senator. You've got Republicans and Democrats alike in your congressional delegation. You know, at one point you had Rick Santorum. And so I guess that the governorship seems to bounce back and forth, Democrat and Republican. So it's seen as a state that can be had by either party. You know, the Ohio thing is more understandable because no Republican nominee who actually won the election has ever won the won the presidency without winning Ohio.
Well, let's hope Ohio doesn't let us down. Let's hope we don't think of tragedy again, like the Kent State or whatever that was. Ohio needs to stop breaking our hearts. This is their chance.
No, they're trying. They're trying, and the Republicans are doing everything in their power, Spike, to make sure that they do break our hearts. You know, suing the Secretary of State. You know, again, the Republicans are afraid of people voting.
People getting the facts, too. That's why they always tell their listeners, whether it's on terrestrial AM radio or over at phone news, they always tell, everyone else, they're in the tank for the liberals. They're all liberal biased. This way people think, oh, well, you know, they're all biased, so I'll just listen to these people. They must be telling me the truth. When really they're the ones lying and propagating it. And, that's basically how they operate everything. I'm sure they'll tell, trust us. You know, there's nothing wrong with how these elections are going. You know, since, unfortunately, we still have W's Justice Department also overwatching all this. So.
Right. And I guess the Justice Department I saw over the weekend, the Justice Department has in fact been instructed to engage in some level of voter intimidation. Yeah, it's real sickening stuff.
Yeah, well, it'll certainly put John Ashcroft trying to cover up naked statues to shame, I'm sure. But
yeah, and scared of calico cats and
And singing where the eagles soar, still one of my more all-time favorite clips that The Daily Show likes to pop out. I don't know why. Just the thought of him singing makes me laugh.
Yeah, make the eagle soar. Yeah,
yeah, it's some cheesy patriotic. Yeah, I'm surprised it wasn't that country song you hear every 4th of July.
Oh, don't make me play that, Spike. People cry when I play that song.
I just hope, should they start playing that like God Bless America? They don't try to treat that like the national anthem. Like at ballparks, they do that with God Bless America, but I let it slide because that's better than the national anthem in a way, aside from the whole God thing.
Right.
I just hope to God that doesn't get that kind of treatment because mullet patriotism.
Mullet? Oh, wait. We have a new phrase. Mullet patriotism. That's it. Oh, that's a beauty, Spike. You've got a winner there.
Yeah, well, there's the emo haircut, which I like to call the new wave mullet, where it's in the front instead of the back.
Yeah,
The younger audience, I'm sure we'll get that a little.
Well, you know, you remember the Get a Brain Morans picture guy? He had a bandana over his head, but, you know, you just know that guy had a mullet.
I'm shocked that we haven't seen any, like, mullets for Palin stuff out there. I did order a white trash for Sarah Palin sticker for my car. It looks just like the McCain campaign sticker, but it says white trash for Sarah Palin. Like, that's my kind of sticker.
I love that one that says Geezer Dingbat 08. Yeah.
Yeah, and I also saw one that said McCain too old to drill 08, and it has an oil tower at the top of it kind of toppled down. At least if nothing else, there's been some good satire in the former SWAT. Cafe Press, I mean, you want a good laugh, just look at the stuff.
Oh, there's some great
what
stuff.
What really cracks me up is the right-wing stuff out there. That's even funnier because they're being serious. You know, with their everything with Obama and, you know, the Soviet hammer, sickle, and star, you know, these Joe the Dingbat plumbers, this stuff cracks me up even more because, you know, the left side doing it's being maybe mean-spirited but intentionally being comical. A lot of that stuff, they're like, seriously, it's going to be Joseph Stalin if Obama is elected, which apparently they haven't paid attention to the current president.
Atonal music, yeah, exactly. I'm just being told Marty just wrote in to say that he was listening to Tom Hartman today and that Tom had Nader on.
Okay.
And Nader said that voting for Obama was throwing a vote away and that Obama's going to win in a landslide. And when Hartman tried to point out the vote rigging and vote flipping and vote suppression, that Nader poo-pooed it. Oh, there's nothing to that. So, wow. That's a little disturbing.
Hopefully he's right in a way, though. Yeah.
Well,
it should be a landslide. Yeah.
It should be a landslide. Hopefully, it would be nice if he was right about the machines. But there's too much empirical evidence out there, Spike, that says that he's wrong. I mean, you know what's going on here in West Virginia. I get told that I can screw up the vote with my little Bluetooth headset. Voters, you know, and votes are flipping in Texas, Tennessee.
I haven't heard that one. The Bluetooth headset could cause interference.
I tried to vote early last week, and the lady said, turn it off, you can ruin the machines.
Oh, I got to Google this one.
Well, I mean, I don't know that you'll find it. I went looking for it and couldn't find anything. I had a couple of listeners write with some possible solutions, but, whew.
I hope there's no polling places too close to a Starbucks in your state. The Wi-Fi there just throw everything in disarray.
Well, they're worried about that. They're worried about my Bluetooth when it's sitting next to the Sheriff's Communication Center. How much radio waves are banging into that place?
Especially since I doubt they got the most modern communications equipment. No offense, I suspect the equipment's probably older and more likely to be a little more archaic in how it operates for radios. I used to mess around with some.
Yeah.
11-meter radios, I'll say. But, we'll see what happens. You know.
Well, that's all we can, but we got to...
There's also the possibility there might be more races in the country than anyone counted on.
The so-called Bradley factor, yeah. That's all I can really say is that we are not out of the woods until he has been declared the way... You know, they declared... remember, they declared Gore the winner and then backed off?
Oh, I remember that. I remember going to bed because I had to wake up early for work that day, and they had said Gore won, and basically it was Gore. And I went to bed thinking, oh, we got Al Gore's person. And then I woke up at like 5 in the morning and discovered something changed overnight while I was sleeping. I guess it was the first entrance of the boogeyman. Yeah, came when I was asleep. And he's been here for 8 years now.
Yeah,
so
and won't go away. Us out of house and home. Sure.
And yet, the even sadder part is that we thought we couldn't find anyone dumber than him, and Sarah Palin came along. So
there's all.
I'm afraid to see who they're going to dig up in another 4 years. I mean, if this is every 4 to 8 years, they keep digging up, you know, Dan Quayle and W. And I really don't want to see how much lower that bar is going to sink in the ground. I almost feel like registering to that party just to create a hostile takeover and overthrow them from within.
Yeah, I've thought about that myself, but I don't have the stomach for it. It's too, oof. You know.
It would be nice to bring the Lowell Weichert type of Republicans back to the front and move the far right wing very far to the back or out of society, essentially. And, by the way, God save us here in Pennsylvania's 11th, polls keep showing Lou Barlett in the lead. You know, Ken Jorski might not be the greatest Democrat, but he's certainly a lot better than Lou Barletta.
Oh.
So I think it's not going to be so much, by the way, from that, I'm starting to think maybe it's not going to be clean, you know, Democratic Party straight line voting as much as who's not the incumbent gets voted for. And in our district here, we're going to lose Ken Jorski and get Lou Barletta out of that. So,
but see, that's the thing that bugs me about West Virginia. If there is a profound sea change in the direction of this country, and if we manage to elect Barack Obama, there's every indication that this state will, of course, go ass backwards.
Yeah. Hey, and before I go, have you seen any polls from Nancy Pelosi's congressional race?
Not a peep.
Sydney Sheehan is kind of a well-known name running against her. I mean, I'm wondering just how much support that campaign has, because out there, that's one of the parts of this country that would actually vote for her. I'm very curious. Yeah, the right keep, you know, the Republicans keep throwing Nancy Pelosi's name out there. She might not be around after this election if Sydney Sheehan can be as popular in the Bay Area as I suspect she might be. So.
It wouldn't bother me in the least if.
No, I would love that. Are you kidding me? I'm a big Bernie Sanders fan. The more non-two-party members in the legislation, the better. I'd like to hear more voices from the outside. You know.
Yeah.
Basically my hand is forced this time around. So. Yeah. That's really
happening. All we can do is. You know, all we can do is go vote, cross our fingers. I don't know if folks are going to have the wherewithal to drive folks to the polls and stuff like that, but there are always people who need that kind of thing on election day. And just make it, you know, the other side wants to make it harder to vote. We need to make it easier.
Yeah.
So
yeah, cause it's not privilege. It's a right. There's a big difference. Yeah,
there's a huge difference.
Yeah.
See, I take it a step further. I was raised to believe that it is a right, but that it is also a duty.
Yeah. Well, imagine if we lived in one of those countries in the former Eastern Bloc where now they require more than 50% of the population vote, or the election's null and void and a do-over. I guess factor.
You know, Australia, where they've got mandatory voting.
Yeah. Yeah.
You will go vote.
most of this country would be in prison. Well, actually, most of this country practically is already on the path of being in prison. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Spike, good talking to you, man, and I hope your prophecy comes true tonight.
So do I.
Phil's in five.
Yeah. Well, when they win, you'll probably hear me all the way in West Virginia.
my pink little ears will be perked up.
You won't even have to open the window.
Okay. Take care, Spike.
Later.
Bye now. Our buddy Spike from calling from the Eastern PA region. Let's see. Let's take a little break. I thought you'd enjoy this. This was sent along. Our pal Sophie sent this in. She said it's a Dr. Seuss telling of Sarah Palin and John McCain. She said, it sounds like McCain and Miss Sarah are having some problems working together in the campaign. She seems to have a mind of her own and ideas about her big future if they lose and doesn't agree on strategy that the McCain team have on some points, so she just ignores their advice. What a fun thing to watch. We might get to see McCain get red in the face and blow up on camera yet before this is all over. Spontaneous human combustion. Yeah, exactly. So we'll take a little break. We'll check this out. This is cute. This is fun. And we'll be back. Your phone calls, you know, are always welcome. 877-443-2366. That's toll free. 877, the numeral 4, head on, HEADON. Or on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Chime right in and let's. Where are you this evening? I mean, what's on your mind? And, I mean, that's part of why, you know, I've said all this stuff, and I'm not trying to be overly negative, but until we have an inaugurated President Obama, I ain't taking nothing for granted. Nothing. But the nice thing is that we've got a chance. We've got a fighting chance. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn.
The Vet Who Did Not Vet.
A cautionary tale. Once there was a proud old vet who had a job he wished to get. He hoped to be the head of state, but who would be his running mate? Lieberman or Colin P? Hutchinson or Rudy G? Liddy Dole or Condi Rice? The Mormon guy whose hair is nice? Thompson, Gingrich, Bloomberg, Huck? Sarah Palin? What the f***? Meet my maverick, said the vet. She killed a bridge and sold a jet. This hockey mom is real and plain. She's just your average six-pack Jane. Like Rudy G, she ain't New York. Like Lieberman, she won't touch pork. She'll shake things up and make some noise and stand up to all those good old boys. She's real down home. She's just like you. Except one thing. It's just not true. Because, you see, this vet he did not vet and chose a brunette he'd hardly met. And when you screen your nominees, like hiring help at Applebee's, one has to think you've lost your mind. Because look at all these things you find. An earmark queen who spends and spends and hires all her high school friends. That nowhere bridge, she loved it so. And when it died, she kept the dough. She watches Putin rear his head from her state house tanning bed. Wants to ban the books you read. Hopes to see her state secede. Shuns the press when she campaigns. Thinks it's cool to hunt from planes. Hasn't really passed reform. Isn't sure the earth gets warm. Has a thing for voodoo prayers and wants to wipe out polar bears. Who knows just how you found her, John? It's W. Bush with lipstick on. And because this vet chose not to vet, he used your life to play roulette. So spin the wheel and place your bet. Cause if he croaks, here's what you'll get. You'll stay up nights and moan and fret with thoughts of wars and bombs and threat of crashing stocks and endless debt, a disappearing safety net. Your chest is tight, you're doused in sweat, you're filled with rage and deep regret. Your tongue is dry, your pants are wet, you lash out on the internet and throw things at your TV set. But here's one thing you can't forget. It hasn't happened yet.
Somebody told us there was a place like heaven across the water on a 747. Yeah, we're living in a modern world. Pretty soon she really got the notion of flying out across the big blue ocean. Thank you.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, a little more than a quarter past the hour here as we do cruise through our second hour of the program tonight. Sure did have a lot of fun this past Friday, by the way. That was a hoot. Third birthday and everything. Great to have Benji and Nick in the studio to help celebrate. And then getting that call from the Dean of Liberal Thought, the Godfather of Liberal Thought, Mike Malloy, really made our night here. And there's still some emails rolling in because a lot of people do listen and delay and listen to archives. Scott writes from Stockholm. Bob, you mentioned Learned Hand on Friday's show and commented that the answer to hate speech is more free speech. You then added that you wish there were more people speaking up against the creeping fascism in the U.S. Amen. He said, I hope this little note, which I doubt, was much noted in the U.S., gives you a little bit of hope. And, you know, I'm game for any hope I can get. Y'all know that. Namely, talk about rejecting fascism. Headline, millions demonstrate in Rome against Berlusconi. Between 2 and 3 million people converged on Rome March 23rd. This is back in 2002. To protest the policies of the Berlusconi government, the biggest demonstration in the history of post-war Italy. Yeah, people do stand up. Thanks, Scott. People do stand up and reject fascism. The issue is whether or not you can teach the American people to recognize it. I recognize it. You recognize it. But the vast majority of this country, I don't think does. As long as the saying goes, as long as it's wrapped in the flag and carrying a Bible and doesn't have snazzy black uniforms, well, it couldn't possibly be fascism. Never mind the fact that more and more of our law enforcement are wearing all black. No badges, no names. Nah, couldn't be. Couldn't be. You know, never mind the fact of what I mentioned in the first hour, that the law enforcement agencies, you know, we're afraid that people could riot if they don't get Barack Obama. Kind of setting it up by prophesying it, aren't they? Oakland Police Department spokesman Jeff Thomason said, "We always try to prepare for the worst." Because Oakland will have tactical squads and SWAT teams and officers trained in riot control on standby. He said, "This election is going to mark a history in history, a change in the presidency. You're going to have a woman in the presidency or an African-American as president. I think everybody around here is voting for Obama, so if he gets in the White House, everybody's going to be happy. But we'll have our SWAT teams on standby and traffic teams here, so if something goes off, we'll organize and take care of the problem." Yeah, the problem. And compared it to Oakland Raiders fans rioting in 2003 after the loss in the Super Bowl to Tampa Bay. And then old snakehead James Carville said, "If Obama goes in and he has a consistent 5-point lead and loses the election, it would be very, very, very dramatic out there." In other words, trying to whisper into the universe's ear, I guess. And then way, 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 way down in the article, and this is decent journalism, I mean, from the Telegraph in the UK, not the best, but certainly better than what we get here. And, yeah, I've got a pretty good idea of what the Telegraph is. way down in the article, right-wing websites and blogs have been fueling speculation about election unrest with unconfirmed reports of an online petition that pledges civil disobedience if Mr. McCain wins. Meanwhile, in a blog posting entitled, "A McCain Win Will Be Theft, Resistance is Planned," mentions David Swanson, says what I quoted you earlier, "If your television declares John McCain the president-elect on the evening of November 4th, your television will be lying." And I agree with David Swanson. We could have saved ourselves 8 years of hell and misery if we had found a little bit more patriotism welling up deep within us and rejected the Supreme Court's theft of the election in 2000. But we didn't, and we got ourselves over 4,000 dead servicemen and women in Iraq and Afghanistan. Tens of thousands grievously wounded. We got ourselves wars and occupations that have broken us. Some think beyond repair. Our economy is in a shambles. And, you know, it's hard not to blame the Bush voters. Because I do believe that actions have consequences, as I've said in the past. But at the end of the day, sitting out in retirement in Arizona somewhere, perhaps, there's a woman who is responsible for all of it. Her name, of course, is Sandra Day O'Connor. And she is the one who sided with thugs like Scalia and Rehnquist and Thomas. She sided with them and gave the election, contrary to the evidence before them, contrary to everything that is within the hoped-for ideals of an American electorate actually determining the outcome of the election. Sandra Day O'Connor, by siding with the thugs in Bush versus Gore, handed us the last 8 years. And frankly, from my standpoint, There are not enough nightmares in the universe to trouble her sleep for what she did to you, what she did to me, what she did to my children, what she did to my grandchildren, and generations of Americans yet unborn and undreamt of. There are not enough nightmares. Her hands are soaked in blood for that decision. And frankly, if she has any legacy at all, it should be a legacy of shame for what she did to this country by siding with the fascists. And that's maybe it's a little strong for some people, but tell me that's wrong, you know? Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, good evening, Bob.
Hey, Ed, what's up?
Not a whole lot. I'm just listening in more than anything, but I guess you saw where old Stevens got found guilty, only 7 counts, didn't you?
Yeah, that did my heart good. Hopefully now his Democratic opponent will finish him off in the Senate race.
Well, I believe so. They got a couple things going on these, what do you call, Republicans?
Yeah, Republicans.
Yeah. So it's a good day for the working people. I won't say Democrats, I'll say working people, because some Republicans don't know what's good for them, and they vote Republicans, and they're working people.
Vote against their own wallets.
Yeah. I've been listening to this stuff, and I've been listening to it all day, and I got on Steve's program this morning and give a spiel, and for the first time, some people called in sort of backing. And one lady called in and said she's glad to hear some of the some people that was calling in speaking out against what Steve O'Brien was saying. So I didn't want to call in, but he was just too strong and cocky on some of the stuff he's saying. But so he had about 4. I know when he went home, he had his tail tucked between his legs. And to the people that don't know.
Nah, he laughed all the way home, Ed.
I tell you, if everybody would, you know, I told him that mentioned the Dirty Dozen, that same ones would call in day after day after day. And they had one guy that started it, some guy named Sonny. He thinks the VA is great and doing the veterans great. Everything that you and I know for sure that is wrong, he thinks is okay. And he called the Democrats a bunch of ignorance, that they should be ashamed of this, ashamed of that. And I told him the one thing he had going for him was ignorance, arrogance, and stupidity. And I told him, of course, that was commonplace for a Republican. And then they got some calls in behind it that he couldn't have liked. And I really figured he'd cut me off again, but he didn't. I think he's got some orders or something to go ahead and take the calls that come into that station.
Well, it could be that he didn't have another call to go to. You know, when he doesn't have calls, he flounges and flops around like a fish out of water.
Immediately he had about three other calls, immediately. And I'm sure he didn't like them. But I'm like you said, I don't let him die on the vine. But when they get so ridiculous, and that wasn't directed at him, he just listened to what the guy had to say. And he is, what do you call it, dumber than a bag of hammers?
Yeah, dumber than a bucket of homemade stupid.
Yeah. You ain't got no pills for that yet.
No, there's no cure. No, when they're right wingers like that, there's no cure for them. I mean, that creepy little character is one of those who, if he saw the George Bush drowning children, he'd swear it was a baptizing.
Yeah. Well, if I had, if they ever come up to peel for that, I wouldn't spend a nickel on a Republican, but I would buy Steve a couple of those peels. Maybe it'll catch on. But anyway, I was just listening, Andy, and, you know, I always enjoy your comments and...
you'll get a kick out of this. Sarah Palin has issued a statement on the Stevens verdict.
Let me hear it.
thanks for your patience there. It's a sad day for Alaska and a sad day for Senator Stevens and his family. The verdict shines a light, though, on the corrupting influence of the big oil service company up there in Alaska that was allowed to control too much of our state.
Oh, I'm having a hard time relating this to Stevens.
Well, you know, the bribery and corruption, you know, they bought them, the oil industry bought themselves a senator.
Oh, okay. So
That's not Ted Stevens' fault. It's a sad day for him and his family, don't you know, you betcha.
Yeah.
It's the oil company's, service company's fault. That's the bad, bad people.
You know something? I'm not allowed to say what I think of her on the air, but
we'll try to make do with moron, hateful idiot, stuff like that, right?
That comes way short of what I got in mind, but you're right. She's a political whore as far as I'm concerned. And that's, I'd tell her and John McCain, you know what? John McCain has sold out what he was before, Bob. You know what?
If he ever really was that, Ed.
Yeah.
What he's been all along is a political opportunist.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he bugged out. He went to Arizona to pursue his political career, not because he had some passion for Arizona, but because that's where the beer heiress was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not mavericky. That's opportunism.
Yeah.
That's political prostitution.
Yeah, I don't know where they get maverick from anyway. You know, I don't know what the qualifications are to be a maverick. Do you?
Well, you know, I did see that thing from it's a family name from down Texas, Ed.
I know what a maverick is supposed to be, you know. Isn't that a cow that has not been able to be harnessed?
It's an unbranded cow.
Yeah.
Because the Maverick family did not brand their cattle.
Oh, okay. So there actually was a Maverick family.
Yeah. And they were noted liberals in Texas politics even.
Well, I don't know how he fit himself into that description. But I really believe that Obama is, and you know, according to the call-ins this morning, there's more people swinging to Obama than what we think here in West Virginia. I certainly can't predict or say that I would think he would win here in West Virginia, but it looks better for him now than it did a month ago. So I can.
Well, we've made them actually pay attention and contest it here, and I think that goes to prove some of the genius of what was described in earlier months and a couple of years ago as Howard Dean's 50-state strategy. Contest them everywhere they are. Don't let them take anything for granted. You know, there's a fighting chance, a slim chance, that Georgia may topple.
Yeah.
And if one of those states in the so-called solid South goes, the rest of them will fall like dominoes the next time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I told, I think their regime is over anyway. But I told him on the air this morning if Obama would have been white, he would have been another JFK. But since he was black, that I was ashamed of West Virginia. And I'm glad that he left me on to say that. But I told him clearly I was ashamed that West Virginia, even if he wins, has let it go this far and sink this low over skin color. So...
Yeah, well, you know, ignorance will do that.
Yeah.
Bigotry, hate. The sad thing is that he could represent a real chance for West Virginia to do better, and there are people in this state who don't want to do that.
Yeah. Well, this state is doing good economically because of the coal mines, but if something should happen to coal, then we would be in worse shape than all of them, Bob.
Right, because we are a colonial economy, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the rest of the country treats the coal-producing states like West Virginia and Kentucky and Virginia, well, not so much Virginia, but the coal-producing regions are treated like colonies. You know, our homes are destroyed, our children are poisoned, our schools are filled with filth from coal. And that's okay with the rest of the country as long as they get to leave the lights on overnight.
And our beautiful scenery, our mountains, and hundreds of acres of timberland destroyed while they're getting the surface coal. And I don't understand how people are so ignorant that ever since I was a boy, it's been coal control. I mean, they, you know, and you're too young to remember it, but Bob, I remember when they paid $14 a month for their rent. Company furnished the houses, they furnished the water, and if you got in a bind and didn't, and you owed, if you think that thing about owing you sold to the company store is just a song, you can sing it again because they had you lock, stock, and barrel, and once you used your payday, didn't draw a payday maybe, because of what you owed at the company store, you could never break away. You could never get to Kroger's or A&P or anywhere and start anew. Every payday, they had it out. And sometimes I've seen them when it's down to 2 days a week working, you had to get a special thing to get a can of green beans, and people don't know what that is. I've seen coal when coal wasn't coal, but of course now we've got around the world that is, and that's speaking pretty largely. But look at the coal. And all you have to do is go down to Newport News or down around the James River and through there, and you see the piles of coal that is 10 times what you saw down at Candleton or wherever at Tipple, whatever that Tipple is that goes across the road down there. You'd see 10 times the amount of coal piles down there than you do here. So
yeah, getting ready to leave the country, isn't it?
Yeah. I've been ready to be shipped out. So, and, you know, that ain't hearsay. When I went down there to play golf, I saw that, and I couldn't believe, and I asked my son, where'd that coal come from? He said West Virginia, and I believe he said Kentucky. So I didn't know that Kentucky turned out.
Oh, gosh, yes, eastern Kentucky, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the far southwest corner of Virginia, yep.
Well, I wish you could see what that is down there. And one of these days we may get down to sea level here if they keep undermining our land. But I guess, you know, for sure I'm not intelligent enough to ascertain the benefit or the disadvantage either of what coal is doing. I know that it's not good for the atmosphere, but it just goes to show you that people are living for today. You know, the coal mines.
Yeah, eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die.
Yeah, we smother to death in the smog. But anyway,
yeah.
I just wanted to give you a call. I'm always glad to talk to you, number one.
No, it's always a pleasure, Ed.
And number two, you know that I understand about three quarters of what you're saying.
Well, then you may be ahead of me because sometimes I don't understand half of what comes out of my mouth. So,
well, whatever it is, it can't do nothing but be good for the liberals and the Democrats and probably hurt some of these crybaby Republicans, and that's what they are, a bunch of sniveling crybabies. It can't do nothing but hurt them a little
bit. Well, but they're all proud because they say Joe Lieberman's going to come and caucus and vote with them when they're in a bigger minority in the Senate.
Oh, my God. What a... You know what?
I'm going to get one of those words out of you yet, Ed.
No, you ain't. You know what we call them in a union?
What's that?
Goodbye. You know, we fixed it so miserable, them little scrimpy jerks couldn't survive the pressure that went on in the shop. They think their wives treated them bad and wouldn't speak to them for a day or two. How would you like to go to work for a week at a time and nobody not even speak to you except the boss giving you orders? We had about two or three of them like that, and then one of them told me he carried the keys to the... It reminds me of... And he had to be a Republican. He carried the keys to where he worked at before. I tell him, well, down here you may have a key, but that don't mean they get into work. So you want to remember that. And then I think he lasted just three or four days. Somebody called his house, which I'm against that. I believe in dealing with the man, not his family. And I think it scared his wife so bad that she had him to quit. And believe me, I'm not for that. If you're going to clean somebody's plow, go ahead and do it. And don't bother his family.
Well, I agree.
Just Joe Lieberman. That's it. You know, you just feel like...
Goodbye, Joe! You know?
Yeah. You feel like just taking the open hand and seeing how, if you can't twist his head around twice. Yeah, I despise that. Look, you know, he's the biggest suck hind end I ever seen.
Well, it's a bed he's made for himself.
Yeah.
And now, you know, now he's trying to come back around after sleazing and sliming all over Obama all this time. Now he's telling the media, he said, when I go out, I have a lot of respect for Senator Obama. He's bright. He's eloquent.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, it's much stuff you get that I don't. Are you still there?
I'm right here.
Yeah, I can't hear too good. I don't know if it's my phone or what. But anyway, Everybody dies. Some people just wait too long. But anyway, Bob, if you don't care, I'll still listen.
All right, I'll put you back on hold, and you can listen in, Ed. Hang on.
All right, I appreciate it, and just keep on campaigning everywhere you go.
No, I'm a-trying. We'll talk to you later, Ed.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. And we'll just keep things rolling. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brother Bob.
It's Albert. What's up, Albert?
Oh, that was a beauty from Ed right there. Some people take too long to die. what the hell is going on now, Bob?
Which part?
Oh, the whole place is on fire. Oh, God.
Well, you know, at least the ATF stumbled into that plot to kill Obama. I mean, you know, it's not like they just, you know, at least they stumbled onto it.
Mm-hmm. You know,
you remember back when the Clinton administration foiled the Millennium Plot, and the Millennium Plot, they were going to blow up the Space Needle or something in Seattle or LA International, LAX. And they foiled that, and all the repiglick and said, "Well, they just got lucky."
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
half of it. Isn't it? No?
Well, yeah, but I mean,
work hard, but luck has got to play a part.
And so, you know, these skinhead Nazis are out there saying, "Oh, we're going to kill 88 African Americans and behead 14 more because there are 8 more, or 4, no, 14 because it's their magic number."
Oh, is it? Is that what that was? I didn't understand that.
Yeah, it's not.
Well, this is the second time now, or actually third, or maybe fourth, who knows?
Well, you're right. Your initial question is spot on, Albert. What's going on?
Yeah. Exactly.
You know,
you've got
Sarah Palin out here. I mean, my God, I just saw this statement that she released about the Ted Stevens verdict, and you read this kind of stuff and you just go, what, huh? I mean, can you imagine that? She's standing on a tarmac and she, you know, she's off the script again. You know, this is when her handlers from the McCain campaign just kind of put their heads in their hands. Oh, God, what's she going to say now? Yeah, it's a sad day for the conviction of Ted Stevens for bribery and corruption, mind you. Is a sad day for Alaska and a sad day for Senator Stevens and his family. It's not a good day for justice. It's not good that we catch and hopefully punish these old crooked bastards.
Yeah.
No, it's a sad day for Alaska.
I thought she was happy about fighting corruption within her own party.
She did say something about that, didn't she?
Yeah, she did, didn't she? You know, I mean, man, she's up to her neck in it anyway. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, look at her. Well, we just got to hold on to love, Bob, because I'll tell you what, the seas are getting stormier and stormier. It's tough. It's tough to hang on to hope, buddy.
It is, but, you know, we're trying. But, I'm just sitting here counting days now. Counting days.
So you guys having a big party, right?
Well, I mean, we'll be here all night long. People can share their voting stories or what it looks like from where they are. This will be, you know, real live sort of on the ground election reporting by the people who care about it most, real voters.
Well, I loved it the first go around, no doubt about it. I mean, these racists. These people, they just make me sick. I hate to fall down to their level and feel like I have to degrade them because that they're beneath me or something. But then doing that just brings me right down to them. But they really are disgusting degenerates. I mean,
truly they are.
Wait, you know, he is. And this is the one part, man, I just want everybody to say, okay, yeah, Barack is black, but he's as much black as he is white. His family is whiter than my ancestors. I mean, we're talking white people. And like, wait, that I'm not. I got too much sultry in me. But honestly, I mean, his white ancestry is probably whiter than most of these freaks that are sitting there planning assassination attempts.
By definition, yes.
For real. I mean, and, you know, and if you really break it down, I'm just thinking about rods and cones, you know? But that's the big problem here. Some people, they think it's telling them something. But, you know, if you really break it down, if they do anything like this, once he's in, and that's the sad thing. It's a sad thing. We all knew it was coming. We all knew. And that's the only thing about the collectiveness and the consciousness that I kind of don't agree with you. We're not calling for it. We're not saying, we're screaming in unison. No, not again. Because nobody was talking about, I mean, I don't know, maybe they were, but I don't think anybody was talking like you and I were talking about Jack Kennedy. And, oh, they could get him. I mean, sure, there was talk about that, but, you know, that happens with presidents from time to time. They're people of power, and those kind of people bring out the craziness and, you know, intelligence agents and stuff. But, I mean, and it might be time to revisit those 80s stories about, you know, who was taken care of and funding and, you know, fermenting this white nationalist movement. You know, it might come to time to that, and, you know, I don't know if you know, but, you know, it's been kind of shown, I think, in a couple of court cases, and I think one down in L.A., that a lot of these groups had ties to the intelligence agencies.
Well, that's not irrational. It's not unreasonable.
And, well, you know, it's no more unreasonable than thinking that, you know, while you're at your Peace in Tibet meeting, you know, that one of those people there is a federal agent.
Well, I mean, right. we know that now. I mean, they infiltrate peace groups because they're deemed to be the terrorists. You know, there was Sarah Palin. We ran the audio on Friday, Albert, of, you know, she couldn't quite bring herself, just couldn't bring herself to say that, you know, bombing an abortion clinic is domestic terrorism, even if it is. I don't know if we want to, you know, put labels on things or not. I mean, I don't know what the point of that is. But, you know, these people will not be tolerated in our administration. And John, you know, poor old Lumpy McHoover sitting there just looking at her going, who are you? Why wouldn't they let me have Joe Lieberman? I wanted Joe Lieberman.
Joe Lieberman. Oh, boy. He's another one. You know, these people are all phonier than a $7 bill. And, I mean, to really think that, you know, she could be a feminist when, you know, she's first introduced and they're really, really gunning hard for those Hillary voters, you know, those disaffected super feminists, I don't even know what to call them, right-wing feminists and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that would go and say, oh, well, if I can't vote for a woman, then I'm going to have to, you know, if I can't vote for Hillary, then no man is going to get my vote, whatever that means. You know, honestly, not for nothing. You know how I feel about Hillary. But, Bud, I might be stubborn and I might be callous sometimes, but I still have some ration. You know, I can rationalize things. And if I'm going to sit here and say, oh, well, Barack lost it, I guess I got to vote for Hillary. You know, it's Hillary or McCain. You know, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, man, this is baloney. You know, if the roles are reversed, you'd never see it that way.
No.
I mean, actually, you probably would. We're talking about a place where people try to kill, you know, 13 people while the moon's in phase three of, oh, Jesus. You know, I can't believe some of this stuff sometimes. Sometimes, you know, you just want to sleep in the day.
Sometimes it ain't a bad idea.
I think that's what the world needs. The world needs an early...
Well, you know, November 5th, maybe we can take a... And that's what it feels like. I feel like I'm holding my breath, Albert.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, getting a little lightheaded, getting a little woozy, look in the mirror, turn a little blue, you know.
Seriously. I mean, I think everybody does. I mean, I am stressed out to the max. I mean, like, any little kind of thing goes on, and I start getting heart palpitations. I mean, that's how stress. I mean, and it's the thing about this stress is, you know, stress is that silent killer, because it's not like, you know, dirt or anything or dust, you know, that just has a visual accumulation. You know, I mean, even gray hair has more of a presence than, you know, stress. You know, you don't realize you're stressed until, you know, you black out and hit the ground because you had a stroke. You know, like you know, you sit there and sometimes the things that give you the stress are the things that you continue to do even more. And, you know, sometimes that's why I think sometimes everybody should take a little break, like, honestly, and especially right before the election. Maybe we should just have a, I don't know, an NPR night here on the Horn, and we talk about pies and
yoga and relaxation exercises and proper breathing techniques and letting go now.
The proper way to prepare corn smut, also known as Mexican truffles. You know, that kind of
thing. Oh, I saw a picture of that stuff. Oh, I'm not trying to be, you know, not trying to be a culinary elitist, but somehow or another, that just didn't speak to me.
It does. Yeah, I'll tell you what, if you ever see it in person, especially if it's on your corn, it's like dead bird. You know, burn it, quick, put it in the fire. You know, it's one of those kind of things. I like to think I try new foods, but certain, I don't know. If you put it in something that I didn't know, and I say, oh, that's delicious, oh, okay, I'll eat it. But I don't know if I could just, oh, let me try this. Who thought of that? Yeah, see, we can start.
Somebody was really, really hungry.
Seriously, sometimes some of these foods you really just got to say, what? Like, if you want proof that we evolved, look at the kinds of things people eat around the world. Yeah. Yeah, that's proof. You don't even need to worry about studying fruit flies or funding them, you know, especially if they're in Paris, France, you know. Paris, France, you know. We hate those Frenchies, don't we?
Oh, what? The cheese-eating surrender monkeys.
Oh, my God. And, I mean,
there's a blast from the past. Look at all the stuff that we have to forget about. Look at all the stuff that we have to carry out to our emotional and political the midden. When all this is over, freedom fries and freedom toast and pouring French wine down gutter drains and, you know, we can't let the smoking gun be a mushroom cloud. I mean, we have enough psychic detritus to clear. We'll be 4 years doing that.
Seriously. I mean, and I'm just hoping that some sunshine pops through these clouds by the time we hit 4 years. So everybody can sit there and we can go, wow, you know, all right, let's finish it up, you know, let's get this thing, this ball going, you know. And, you know, I don't even know, I don't know if we should ever be afraid of a Republican getting a third term.
I
really don't.
Well, I've given a lot of thought to that. What amendment is that? I can't remember off the top of my head right now.
26th or something.
I've given a lot of thought to whether or not that was wise, and it was, you know, it was all just a knee jerk reaction to FDR. But when we get, you know, when we get into a real bind, like say what we're in right now, you know, you might want somebody for that third term.
Yeah, a third term.
Or just, or maybe modify the, amend the Constitution and make the presidency 1 10-year term.
Then, boy, oh boy, would it get dirty.
Oh, yeah, then, oh, that would up the stakes dramatically. That's why I'd just rather, repeal that amendment, I think. Because, I mean, honest to God, is there anybody out there who would reelect George Bush? Come on.
You know?
Could Nixon have, I mean, never mind the second, could Nixon have ever won a third term?
No, he barely won the second, didn't he?
No, that was a landslide. That was McGovern. You know, that was really, really bad.
I was still a fleck of light coming from some star at that time. But, you know, You know, I think there are some things that need to get tweaked a little bit. Just tweaked. Nothing, you know, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Nothing major, but, you know, a little tweakage. Because we're that, and you know, whether Republican or Democrat, one of the problems is that the first term, a first term president, the minute the inauguration is over, you know, the hand comes off the Bible or Quran. Just got to say that, just to be a little bit of an ass.
You're going to get the crazies frothing if you start talking like that.
Well, see, I want to see, one of these days, I want a president who takes the oath of office on the Constitution. I'll probably cry if that ever happens. But the minute the hand comes off whatever he's swearing on and the other hand comes down out of the air, that's when the reelection effort starts.
Yeah.
And we expend entirely too much energy, especially if you've got a good president. There's too much effort spent on campaigning for the second term.
Yeah. 5-year term. I'm with you on that. 5-year term, and I hope these Supreme Court justices survive, but I'm kind of thinking that, you know, this lifetime appointment crap that.
Well, that has its place in the Constitution, Albert. I mean, that's the theory behind that was to make them, you know, lifetime appointments on good behavior, not will and pleasure, but on good behavior, to insulate them from the political process.
Yeah, I was just going to say like 20 years or something like that, but
I mean, you know, here in West Virginia, we elect our Supreme Court to 12-year terms, and that's way too long. Especially if you've got a bad court like we've got right now. I mean, if the Democrats don't win both Supreme Court races in this state, Albert, there's no end to how we're screwed. It could very well mean saying goodbye to old prevailing wage laws, other wage and hour laws, environmental stuff. Because we've got, you know, we got three thugs on the court right now, and one of our two liberals is stepping down, and the other one has esophageal cancer. I mean, you want to talk about scary, and yet hardly anybody in this state is mentioning that race. And see, that's one of the downsides to the fact that we're having such a hard time getting Democrats to be Democrats. Is that we could wind up having the wife of the guy who runs the company that provides all the equipment for mountaintop removal jobs on the Supreme Court. Yeah, doesn't that just make you want to gag?
My mouth is just, I got a bad taste in my mouth from that.
Gotta go brush.
That's revolting. That's horrible. I can't see. Actually, good news, though, Caterpillar stock dropped a bunch. I think they dropped like 20-something percent. So.
Now see, okay, we got Cindy says that Reagan could have won a third term. I don't think so, because everybody knew by then that he was a loon, that he was sick, that the Alzheimer's had fully kicked in, you know, because, you know, he was walking around being baffled by jelly beans by the end of his second term. But what Cindy says is what we need is a limit to the election cycle, like 2 months and no more.
True.
And at the end of the day, you know, you want the ultimate fix is the so-called clean elections, public funding of election campaigns.
Period.
You know, I can't give $5 and Exxon can't give $5
billion. I know, split up from all their employees in Africa, right?
Yeah, right, right.
They think any loophole, wouldn't they?
Oh yeah, well you get rid of something like that, Albert, and you really do. What you do is you force candidates to campaign on their merits. Of course, you know, the big resistor to all of that would be our media oligarchy, who every 4 years feast at the public trough. You know, that still drives me crazy, because we've got candidates running for elected office who are Democrats, maybe even liberals, and they have to give money to people who hate them. Tell me that's not just nuts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, these guys, I think that's one of the biggest hurdles that Obama should do. I mean, because, you know, that would also kind of, I think, destroy that whole nonsensical notion of, you know, liberals in the media if he was to make, you know, reinstitute some of those regulations that Clinton got rid of. You know, if Obama could actually give it back to us, right, in terms of that, you know, I think that would probably be the biggest, well, that would be such a fatal blow to the beast. It really would.
But for the time being, we have to hold our breath till Tuesday.
We do till Tuesday. It's already, see how close it is, Bob. It's already ready there.
And so, you know, we do that. We hope that they don't steal it. And, you know, then the question, you know, you got to go to that David Swanson inquiry. What happens if they steal it? Because if John McCain is elected, as sure as God made little green apples, it will have been stolen.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, buddy.
All right, man. Good talking to you, Albert. You take care, brother.
Always. I'll talk with you soon.
All right, see you. Bye. I think I heard Albert's wireless phone getting ready to go south on him. It always happens to me in the middle of a good conversation, too. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Matt, what's going on?
Well, haven't been able to come on this show for a while. I've only been listening to the feed the following day because I've got a job in a sweatshop.
Oh, well, hooray for you.
Yeah, I've got a job in the New American Sweatshop. You know where I work?
No, tell me.
I work in a call center.
Ouch, I've done that, man. I've done that.
Yeah, I work in a call center. I can't say what company it's for, of course.
Can you give us a hint? What are you hustling?
Hill.
Say again?
I work for one of the biggest mail-order pharmacies in the world.
Oh, wow, you're a pill pusher.
Oh, yeah. Well, not really a pill pusher. It's more like people already want the pills when they call. That was one of the conditions of me taking the job is I was like, I don't make calls, right? I get calls.
Okay, yeah. So you're inbound.
That's right, inbound call center. People calling to refill their prescriptions.
Well, it's frankly, I mean, you have my sympathy because, like I said, I've worked in a call center, but, man, I've hustled AOL and credit cards. I mean, there's a special place in hell for me. At least these people don't take any convincing. They call you wanting the stuff.
Exactly. I'm not having to call anybody and say, hey, would you like some Viagra today?
No.
People call me.
I couldn't do that. No.
No.
I don't think you could either.
I tell you what, it's been a hell of a ride the last few months. And I have to tell you, I've observed a few things, especially lately, because I've got a new line of business that deals almost exclusively with elderly folk, people who are retired, people who are on Medicare. And I think there's an undiscovered demographic that's affecting the election this year.
Okay.
I really think this is being missed by the pollsters. I think that the gap, the Medicare gap, has struck the Republican Party. Because in the last 4 months that I've been doing this, it's through my observation, you have an incredible number of people who are hitting this Medicare gap all at the same time.
You're talking about like the hole between 62 and 65?
No, I'm talking about what they call the donut hole. And here's how it works. Medicare Part D, you remember this was the big $1 billion giveaway to the pharmacy and
state, right, where we can't even negotiate prices, right?
Right, exactly. Well, this program works thusly. You are insured for the first $3,800 worth of medication, after which you have no insurance. You're paying basically the entire out-of-pocket cost of the medication. They are not upfront about this when they push these programs on these elderly folks. So these elderly folks are suddenly finding out that their insulin is $800.
Holy crap.
Their insulin. Yes. And it's all happening at once, right on the eve of the election. And it's been my observation listening to these elderly folks that they're ready for change. You know, we think of the older demographics as the ones least likely to vote for Obama because, well, I mean, let's face it, you know, they're set in their ways. They grew up during a different time. But I have to tell you, more and more when I listen to them. I think these folks are ready for change.
Well,
I had a woman just flat out tell me the other day that she was voting for Obama. I didn't prompt her or anything.
Well, I mean, you live in a red state.
Oh yeah, I live in a red state.
Now,
it doesn't get any redder.
Now, technically, though, I mean, I know what county you're in. That's not the reddest of the red counties in the state.
No, by no means. I mean, we are actually the Democratic stronghold up here in this part of the state, but it is still a red state. These are Reagan Democrats around me.
And so, what? I mean, are you getting any sense on the street that the Republican Party can't take the South for granted anymore? Or I mean,
I'm beginning to think so, and I'll tell you why. And I started observing this right after Hurricane Katrina. You remember gas hit $3.50 a gallon for the first time. And
oh, yeah.
I actually witnessed somebody peeling the W sticker off the back of their SUV. And I thought, huh, now that's interesting. Now, I mean, that's anecdotal, right? That's just anecdotal. But I have noticed a surprising lack of paraphernalia, stickers, signs. You see a McCain Palin sign here and there. You see a McCain Palin sticker, but not nearly as many as I had expected. I remember 4 years ago there was a lot more W's running around the state than I see McCain Palin now. And it's been my observation that I'm only seeing these stickers on vehicles being driven by people over 50. And every young person that I see...
Are they more spiffy new SUVs, Matt, or are they more... sort of rattly old, just trying to keep them on the road type vehicles?
Well, you know, actually, they might have been spiffy SUVs 4 years ago, but the resale value is gone on them. So I doubt that they're going to get rid of their SUV anytime soon, unless somebody makes an inexpensive Prius or something like that. I don't know. They might actually buy it. But I have noticed that the SUVs bearing the McCain-Palin stickers have been just a little worn, like people aren't doing as well as they expected to be doing at this point.
Well, I love that. I love that video that Obama put out, I guess, last week that said, we know the answer to are you better off now than you were 4 years ago. We know that answer. The question is,
yeah,
how will you be 4 years from now?
That's a great line, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And really, that's what we need. We need more forward thinking.
Well, indeed, we do. So you're saying that even in the wilds of Alabama, you're seeing some of this.
I went to a gun show a couple of weeks ago down in Birmingham.
All right.
Yeah, but I went to a gun show, and I was surprised, actually. I only saw two McCain Palin T-shirts. I saw a little bit of the sort of wingnut type paraphernalia there, you know, a poster, a T-shirt, that sort of thing. No Obama. I saw a couple of those. But I did not see nearly as much as when I was down there, you know, 10 years ago, and Clinton was still president. I don't see it. I get the sense that the crazy, far-out, wacky folks are tired. I think they're exhausted.
You think they might just stay home next Tuesday?
I'm thinking, actually, they might. I don't think that they're all going to stay home. I don't think that Alabama's going to turn blue or anything like that. But I think that
maybe it'll go from maybe bright red to pink.
I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think that we're going to see the softening of the red states. The base is not excited.
That's what I mentioned a little bit ago. You know, if just one of the solid South goes, it's over.
Yes, it's a domino effect.
And
really got to be scaring Karl Rove right now.
You know, you look at and the possibility's there. It's a matter of mobilization, and that's why efforts are going on, Matt, like what's happening in Georgia, where they're busting their ass to keep people away from the polls.
Right.
Because Saxby Chambliss could go down in Georgia, and what a beautiful thing that would be.
What a beautiful thing that would be, even if Barack Obama doesn't take Georgia, even just to get close in these southern states, to lose in Mississippi by only 6 or 7 points. What kind of message does that send? And then in 4 years, Just imagine. Just imagine a scenario. In 4 years, what if Barack Obama comes to the South? What if he campaigns in the South in 2012 for his reelection? What if he starts turning the South even bluer? I think the Southern strategy is dead. I think it's dying. A well-deserved death.
It would be so nice if I could say the same thing. It may be. It may be. But there may be dynamic. I mean, you know the story. Well, no, this is speculation. But I strongly suspect the story would be wildly different had the nominee been Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I think that they would be all up in arms. Hitlery, et cetera.
Yep. Because that machine was built for that one purpose. And the Democratic Party, for reasons that some people still find to be somewhat inexplicable, chose not to go down that road.
Yeah.
And took away, Matt, this is just beautiful, took away a 16-year-old machine that was banging on all eight cylinders, oiled and primed and ready, and just made the Republican Party take it out back and leave it to rust.
Isn't it a beautiful thing?
Yeah, it is. So,
the beautiful thing about it to me is that she's not even the vice presidential candidate at this point. She's not on the ticket anywhere.
No.
And she's basically admitted that her political future is limited to the Senate. And the beautiful thing to me is that it's as if it's not only that they took it out back, it's like it's forgotten. It's overgrown with weeds. It's going to be a relic. People are going to come across that. Political scientists are going to run across that machine in 100 years. And they're going to examine it like, wow, what's this?
What did this thing do?
What's this for? Yes.
What's this Vince Foster button?
That's right. It's political archaeologists are going to be all over this thing arguing with each other about what it was intended to do.
Filegate? What's a filegate? And apparently they never got to use it. It'll be a special on the History Channel. Or maybe the History Chip by then, and we'll all have the little things in our wrists, and you'll just have to think about a program, and it'll be there. I don't know. By the way, I meant to tell you since I didn't get to tell you previously, our mutual friend put me on to your analysis of Joe the Plumber.
Yes.
And I used that and it was very well received here, by the way. That was some great work pulling that together, Matt. And that's over at your website, osborneinc.com. Is that right?
That's correct.
And that's Osborne with an E.
Yes.
OSBORNEINK.com. You know, we've talked not a lot, but some in the past. And, you're a damn fine writer and, write sharp at, isolating this stuff. So, that was just dandy work. And
as a matter of fact, I came up with a phrase the other day after this Ashley Todd fiasco last week.
Oh, yeah, the backwards B. Oh, my God.
Right. I have come up with a phrase. I think we need to popularize this. Tilt-down politics.
Ooh, that's fun. Yeah, the Piltdown Man, the great
hoax.
Phony, the great hoax. Yeah.
Yes, because as you know, the Piltdown hoax worked at the time because British scientists were waiting for an example of early man to turn up in Britain. Okay, so they wanted it. And two, it fed into the raging theories of the time, so they expected it. And that's why they fell for it. Well, I think that we should call Piltdown politics, when you see a political hoax like this that is directed straight at your worst assumption, people's lowest common denominator, their internal narrative, that are from the worst side of humanity, racism.
Bigotry, prejudice.
Racism, classism, bigotry. Yeah.
Oh, that is beautiful, and I'll put it to work, and I bet you it gets picked
politics.
Up. Piltdown, yep. Piltdown man. And of course the other thing about this Ashley Todd woman, you know, it's come out now, Matt, that she wasn't a McCain volunteer.
Oh, really?
She was a paid McCain staffer.
See, I haven't even been able to hit the link today.
Yeah.
She's a paid staffer.
Yeah.
Oh, that gets even better.
And she's
got a history of mental problems, and judging from that picture of her with Ron Paul wearing the T-shirt of him, I'd have to say yes.
And when you consider, you know, there are a couple of images that are just, you know, I don't know, that the political archaeologist will want to have on hand. One is the one from the debate with McCain running behind Obama. you know, with that, you know, fire bad sort of, you know, bent over with both hands out, I get you. That, you know, that little still, that's perfect. But the other one is going to be Ashley Todd in her backwards B.
Mm-hmm.
That is, in a nutshell, the entire Repiglicking campaign for the presidency this year.
I think so. My favorite moment from that debate, though, has got to be, obviously, McCain has been confusing Barack Obama's health care plan with Hillary, because he kept asserting that there would be this fine if you didn't take part in this government health care plan. And Obama said, your fine would be zero. And McCain had this moment where he said, zero? Like he had never imagined this. And his jaw dropped. His jaw was open for 11 seconds.
You mean like that blinking number on my VCR?
Yes. Zero.
Yep.
11 seconds of jaw hanging. That little clip of video. That and
one little drop of drool just blink. Yeah.
Yes, I think those will remain. Those will last. They will stand the test of time when the political archaeologists are digging up the machine. As a matter of fact, I have something I want to read to you real quick, if I may.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
You had a little parody going a little while ago I was listening to when I first called in, and I was enjoying that, and I thought I'd read you this. This is something that I wrote back in 2006, right before the Democrats retook Congress. So you have to put yourself in that frame of mind. This was written after the 2004 election, after Katrina, but before the voting. Okay?
All right.
This is called The Fighter and the Duck Hunter. It's a shameless parody. All right? The sun was stumping steadily, stumping with all his might. He did his very best to spin his troubles smooth and right, and this was odd, for in Baghdad the lights still were off at night. Pundits spun so frantically because the favorite son had told the people of the world, the mission has been done. This war coverage, they said, has gone and spoiled the fun. No one had found WMD. The oil pipes were dry. There was no mushroom cloud because uranium's a lie. In Darfur, too, lay many dead, enough to make God cry. The fighter was the president. Karl Rove was his right hand. George howled like anything to see gay marriage in the land. If only you would vote for me, he said, I'll take a stand. If we blame the blamer's blame and change the subject here, do you suppose, Duck Hunter said, that it could get us clear? Don't doubt it, said Karl Rove, arranging a swift vote smear. Oh, voters, come re-elect us, the fighter did implore. Unless again you vote us in, Osama wins the war. He will attack us yet again unless we get four more. John Stewart simply looked at him and parsed the words he said. John Stewart called out each foul lie and shook his heavy head. These words are not reality-based. Prince George has got no cred. But Fox News pundits hurried up, all eager for the speech. Their words prepared in focus groups, their talking points in reach. We must elect George once again for victories in reach. Values voters followed in to mobilize the base. And thick and fast the swift vote passed, did muddy Kerry's face, and truth became a frothy mess, and thus they won the race. The fighter and the duck hunter went on a year or so. For victory they'd set the bar conveniently low. And then the price of gas did leap and big oil profits grow. The time has come, the voter said, to talk of many things, of hurricanes and suicide planes, democracy and kings, and how the debt is rising up and why John Ashcroft sings. But wait a bit, Duck Hunter cried, before we have this chat. The war is not quite over yet. We've got no time for that. Heck of a job, Brownie boy. Now let's make taxes flat. A new drug plan, Decider said, is what we chiefly need, and social non-security. For borders we've no need. Now, if you're ready, America, it's time Iran should bleed. But not Iran, the voters cried, turning a little blue. With all our troops stuck in Baghdad, a stupid thing to do. There's no plan yet, Decider said. Does Spanish bother you? I have earned much capital, you see, and avenged the towers. The duck hunter said nothing but, victory is ours. Real Americans watch Fox each day for several hours. We can't be wrong, the pundit said. Iran will make a bomb, so let us first attack them to keep our country strong. Duck Hunter said nothing but, insurgents won't last long. Compassionate, the fighter was. I deeply sympathize. With laws of fear, he gathered up those with Arab ties, secretly renditioning a pack of tortured lies. Progress, said the president. We make more every day. Next year, vote Republican. But their base just looked away, and this was scarcely odd, because for gas, we all must pay. The end.
Dadgum, Matt. That's hot.
You gotta email that to me, because I'm gonna get requests for it. I know.
Okay, I'll be happy to email that to you.
And due credit given when sent. Yeah. That,
all right.
And I mean the imagery is just so beautiful. I had these little video clips running through my head. That's really, really cool, Matt.
Well, thank you very much. It took me about a week to write that.
Yeah, with all due respect to Lewis Carroll.
All due respect to Lewis Carroll. Yes, all due respect, Lewis, wherever you are now.
And so how long have you been at the call center gig?
I have been doing this since March.
You're still there. Well, you have my respect, brother.
And interestingly enough, you know, Alabama being the little slice of the third world that it is for America, I recently learned that the reason why this company brought a call center to our fair state was because the call center they had in Florida went union.
Of course. And Alabama is, after all, a right to work for less state, or right to starve state, precisely.
Yes, the right to starve. A good right to have, I guess.
Yeah. I suppose.
Keeps you on your toes. Keeps you strong.
Yeah. Nothing like living in fear.
All right. Well, I have to go eat dinner.
Well, bon appetit, Matt, and say hi to anybody I'd say hi to, would you?
I shall.
And
take care of yourself.
Send me that, because it will be wanted. I promise.
I will send it to you.
All right. Take care, Matt.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Just blows me away, the callers we get to this program. That, of course, Matt Osborne. And if you can't tell, damn fine writer, osborneinc.com, OSBORNEINK.com, osborneinc.com. And let's just keep it rolling around. Ah, doggone it. Yeah, you'll have that. My apologies. If you want to try back in, there's time to get in now if you want to. Quick email rolled in. With regard to compulsory voting in Australia, sort of setting me straight. Hi, Bob. It's not technically compulsory to vote in Australia. It's compulsory to attend a polling station and have your name checked off. No ID required. All you're asked is, have you voted anywhere else today, and to confirm your address. As for voter registration, it's automatic for everyone over 18. As far as I recall, it's been so long. The polling officer initials your paper ballots on the back and hands them to you. All you're required to do after that is fold them in half and put them in the recyclable cardboard boxes, provided they recycle them after they're emptied and the votes are counted. See, we do it beforehand here. You can then write, fill them in or not. It's up to you whether you actually vote or not. The paper ballots are counted once polls are closed, and it's all over by midnight, mostly. Some seats require extended counting if the votes are close. And that's Robert in Sydney, Australia. 10:43 a.m. down there when he wrote it. Tomorrow, 10:43 tomorrow. And he says, by the way, why does the U.S. hold its elections on a Tuesday? Ours are always on a Saturday because the schools, which act as polling stations, are empty, and the majority of people have the day off and are able to vote. I don't honestly know the legislative history of that, but it's obviously squirrely. And frankly, there have been many periodic moves to change things. Saturday voting makes perfectly good sense to me. And, you know, then again, we do it in November, which puts a lot of states in play for being messed with, not just by people who want to steal votes, but by the weather itself. And when you consider historically, well, at one point in time, the gap between the election and the inauguration was broader than it is now. I think the inauguration in March, and that was tightened up a little bit during the Depression. So why Tuesday? Don't know. Why November? That either. I would think September would be nice. Spring can be rainy, but yeah, something like early September would make sense, so it's not blazing hot summer and yet not freezing cold winter. There's a lot of places where November is not nice. I mean, we're expecting, they're even saying in the elevations here, 2 inches of snow tonight. Go figure that. And to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Evening, Bob.
Hey, Luke, what's up?
Well, don't look at us. They're talking like us, too, up in the mountains. We have a good chance of seeing some white stuff tonight.
Yeah, this is too early for that.
Well, we ain't had it in a while. That's the problem. We've been too used to not having it.
Well, right. And that's the strain. We've even had times during this past winter, the last winter, you'd get 6 inches of snow, and it's gone by noon the next day.
Well, you know, normally for the last, probably 4 or 5 years, it hadn't got cold till middle of December, if even then.
Right, yeah.
You know. Well, I saw it today. I finally got to see the thing with the lady asking Biden the question, and I'm surprised he just didn't fall over laughing. A little news woman asked him about them being Marxist.
Yeah. And Biden, is this for real?
Yeah. Am I on the Onion? Is this the Onion TV? And, oh, listen to good old Lou Dobbs, and Lou was just up so incensed, but Joe Biden took offense at that. And I'm sitting there going, Lou, how many times have you asked John McCain how long has he been a racist? Now, if you asked him that kind of question, you think he'd be incensed?
A little bit.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing, you know, somebody comes along and asks that kind of question and then acts surprised that you kind of go, huh? Like, you know, it is sort of like the old, you know, when did you stop beating your wife question? You know, there is no good answer. You know, not even just saying no, because they'll swear, oh, no, he meant something else. You know, oh, God, I tell you, it's just been one of them days. I tell you, every time you turn around, the one thing I liked was the thing with Ted Stevens. It wasn't one charge he was saying. It was all seven. I mean, he hit the whole jackpot there. I mean,
yeah,
you know, if they'd had one, they could say, oh,
yeah, no half a loaf juries here.
And the guy I heard talking on said the thing, one of the things that really said it was when Stevens took the stand, they said he was so unbelievable, you know, that if you believed him, you essentially had to believe, you know, that the sun was in his eyes. That's why he didn't notice all that stuff in his house, you know. Oh, there's new stuff in my house. You're kidding. It's just the old stuff. We just cleaned it up. It looks different. You know how it is.
Well, yeah. I told him to send me a bill. I told him I'd cry and quit the Senate if he didn't. You know, that old fraud.
Oh, God. You know, some of that stuff you're just kind of going, ew. And if anybody tries to call in and complain saying, well, it wasn't a real, you know, these two neo-Nazis, it wasn't a real plot, go, yeah, you know, we kind of said the same thing about those 7 or 8 guys down in Miami that didn't even have shoes. But, hey. Federal government said that was a concerted effort. You know, that was a major plot. So seven or eight guys without shoes are a major plot. My opinion, two neo-Nazis who are getting guns, they're a plot too.
Yeah, hey, where is Crockett County, Luke?
Oh, Crockett. Crockett is over, if I'm not mistaken, it's over in the far west end of the state, but I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, because the other guy was from Arkansas, so I figured it had to be one of those Mississippi River border counties in Tennessee.
Oh, my favorite one up there used to be, was it, I don't even can't say it right, Obion. Oh, God.
Yeah, O-B-I-O-N.
Up where Real Foot is, up in that area. It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, God. Like, couldn't the river just kept going backwards, pushing them out?
Oh, yeah, because that's where that one little teeny tiny notch of Tennessee is that, like, sticks up into Kentucky or something.
It used to, like, say, until, unfortunately, the river ran backwards in 1812 when they had the earthquake. Kind of changed the topography a little bit.
Yeah, I every now and then somebody will write something about the 1812 New Madrid Fault earthquake. And I even caught something on, I guess, you know, History or A&E or one of those channels.
They were doing one of their disaster things that did like 2 hours on it.
Right, about what happens if that kind of earthquake happens now, and it was, you know, goodbye Memphis, goodbye St. Louis.
It all just rolls over. Because the thing they thought was so that most people don't realize is that place up, and when they had that one, that went on off and on for a month. I mean, they had aftershocks, you know, for the longest time. The only thing was good about it, the fact there wasn't that many heavy, big structures.
Well, there wasn't, not that many people either.
Yeah. But, the thing I saw today was interesting was they were talking about, they said, just talking about, you know, getting people out to vote. You know, out in California, they've got that Proposition 8, you know, that's going to drive the fundies out, you know, in big numbers. The gay marriage.
Right, yeah, Proposition 8.
Yeah. So apparently the Mrs. Gov has come out against it, but no one can seem to find what the Gov has said about it. All I know has not been very forthcoming.
I'm not entirely sure what it is I would say if I did come out to speak about it. All I know is I do not want to get anywhere near it because it will destroy my political career. This is a political nuclear bomb.
Like, I'm sorry, Arnold, the way you had to redo the finances out in California, you've already taken care of that career problem.
Yeah, he'll be. Well, I don't guess it. It's too much to hope for that he'd be down to smoking El Paludos here soon instead of those. You know,
he'll still be there, but you know, it's just one of those things. It's like, you know, most people in the rest of the country think that, you know, things are just great out there. It's like they don't realize that Arnold's had to really do some financial finagling out there to keep the state going.
Yeah, debt. And now that stuff's coming home to roost, and that's why that one member of Congress, I can't remember her name now, but was down there on the floor when they were passing the bailout bill saying, you know, if this thing doesn't pass, California goes broke, third largest economy in the world.
That sounds about right, yeah. But, you know, if I say most people don't realize it, like I say, that Arnold got by the first year or two because he borrowed money right, left, and center.
Yeah, well, he did what Republicans do, Luke. He dummied up the economy.
It's one of those things I always say, you know, you want to call us tax and spend, at least we pay our bills, you know.
Yeah, we're not tax and bankrupt.
Yeah, and we're not passing the bill on to the kids and the grandkids. It's like, I'm sorry we have to pay taxes, but, you know, it's like you were talking one day, you know, it's that evil thing called, like, roads and bridges. You know, for some strange reason, we think we really ought to pay for them. You know,
well, they're not, you know, they're not out there giving them away in the Cracker Jack bags anymore.
No, you know, it's not the old days of the CCC or anything like that, you know, where we get.
No, but it wouldn't be a bad idea to have something like that now, would it?
I know. You know, it's one of those. I still think that somewhere down the line, we're not exactly going to have a draft, but I think we're going to put something between like a draft and congratulations. You can, like the Israelis, you can go to work for like AmeriCorps. You know, or you can go work for your National Guard or whatever. You know, I think somewhere down the line, they're going to come up with something along those lines. Just a national service, you know, for.
Yeah, well, look, I don't necessarily disagree with something like that, as long as there's something there where people who don't want to be in the killing business have an option. And you know, I think Obama's mentioned some of that, where we trade, you know, future college for present service. It's a good idea.
I think it ought to be, because I say one thing it do is like I say, is put some of these kids into a college who aren't going to go into a college unless you almost, it's not driving them to it, but you know what I mean. It's sort of you having to give them a gentle push into it.
Yeah.
You know, where some kids are going, well, I'll just go down here and get a job. It's like, okay, yeah, but you know, 20 years you're still packing groceries. Congratulations.
And you know, what I was reminded, sad story coming out of your neck of the woods. The cheerleaders in the terrible car crash.
Yeah. They had that a couple of days, actually a couple of days ago, I think it is now. But, you know, they talked to, you know, had the film showing them a practice a day or two before and all that stuff. You know, and it's sorry, but, you know, it's.
Well, what I found interesting is, you know, I read the story over at Chicken Noodle News.
Uh-huh.
And, it names the car that they hit, you know, Ford Taurus. People died in that one, too. You know, and apparently it wasn't a drunk driving accident. It was just hydroplaning on a wet, you know, roads.
Well, like I said, we hadn't had rain in about a month or two, you know what I mean? So
and that,
a lot
and
of people
And when it does rain after you've been dry, all that that's when it really gets dangerous because all that crap that's been on the roads rises up.
It's a oil slick from where all the cars have dropped it off, and it hasn't washed away each week, and it's sort of accumulated.
But what I couldn't figure out, and what I found interesting, is that they named the Ford Taurus, which was the vehicle they hit. But all they said about the vehicle the girls were in was it was an SUV. That's all it says, sport utility vehicle or SUV, not Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Honda, whatever.
Yeah. I don't remember the mention of it. You know what I mean?
It's not in there. But you know, this is one of those cautionary tales. You know, parents, grandparents, none of these four poor girls were wearing their seatbelt.
No. It's that thing that happens, I guess, when you're a teenager. For some strange reason, you have this, I call it the immortality belief.
Oh, bulletproof. You know, bulletproof.
Yeah, when you're 15 to 18 to 20, you think nothing's going to kill you. You know, I knew anything. You know, I'll go up and jump off the roof. It ain't going to kill me. It's like, well, when you put your head first into the concrete, we'll see. You know. But most kids believe that. You know what I mean? They believe it's not my turn. It's somebody else's turn. You know, if somebody's going to have an accident, it's not me, it's them. So, no, I went early voted Saturday.
Oh, did you? Everything went okay? You didn't take your Bluetooth headset or anything and set off any alarms?
No, I figured I better not. I didn't see any signs or anything anybody saying that you couldn't bring it. You know, I didn't see anything, you know, please turn off all cell phones or anything like that. Which, I mean, I can even live with that just for the fact of not annoying other people. You know, if they had a sign up said, you know, please turn off cell phones and, I could understand that just by, you know, not disturbing the other people voting.
But it wasn't there, was it?
No. That's what I was going to say. But I didn't see anything on it. So, like I say, I probably should have come in with my boombox. Come on, let's see what happens. Let's see here. Let's turn on the Sirius radio. Let's see if we can really get all the machines to buzz at the same time. You know.
Lord.
That's just, you know, it's like that's just mind-blowing when you think of that. It's just like, guys, I'm sorry, but, you know, let's just go back to paper. I mean, I'll happily go back to the old method, you know, put the little circle, the dots in the little circles, and we'll do it like we used to do the tests. You know, give me the reader where it reads me the marks on it, whatever.
Yeah, or, you know, look, paper ballots where the, you know, God, it's simple.
Yeah. At least it's something. If something goes wrong, you can always go back and recount it and go, here it is.
And, you know, there's ways of going about and you know, like,
oh, did you see?
Like Robert from Australia said, you know, 20 million people done by midnight. Because, you don't have one team counting everything.
No.
You know, it's counted on a county basis. And that's not impossible.
No. If I say they're not all being brought to one central place and we're counting them all at once, you know, each county's counting their numbers and turning the numbers in, you know, and they'll get it done. It may take till midnight, but they'll get it done. You know, you close it at 9 or 8 or 9, whatever it is, and you've got 3 hours. You've got just as many volunteers as you had there working the machines. You can get through that. But, you know, it's one of the, did you see the story, where I can't remember what it was they were talking about? About 20,000 people they thought had been culled from one of the voting things. And the girl was living in, like, Atlanta, I think it was. And she was born in Boston and called her mother to send her birth certificate. She had her passport and everything else, and they were telling her she was not registered because apparently it didn't exactly match.
Yeah, that, you know, right. And,
you know,
and that's these are individual stories that are emblematic of thousands and thousands and thousands of people.
And they're holding to the thing where if you don't have it exactly the way you marked it, well, now if I put in, okay, I live at 478B. Now if I put the dash in the middle, it's real. If I don't put the dash, that's wrong. You know, or who, you know, I mean, they're almost saying like you have to have it exactly the exact same way you signed it, exactly the same way you filled it out 20 years ago. You're like, huh?
Yeah.
You know, if I don't use a capital letter in the right place, that counts it out too? You know, it's like the thing in Florida in 2000. You remember all the overvotes where, amazing enough, when they checked the box for Al Gore and then they wrote in at the bottom Al Gore, for some strange reason, they couldn't count that as an Al Gore vote.
No.
They couldn't determine what that voter who that voter wanted to vote for.
Yeah, that, no way of telling.
Oh God, I tell you what, I hope things don't turn out that way. But you and I both know there are going to be pockets of it where it's going to be things like that. Where amazingly enough, 500 people voted for John McCain. You go, well, there's only 300 in our voting district. Like, that's okay. They voted twice just to make sure.
Well, it's it's becoming an epidemic in West Virginia with the touchscreen machines.
Machines playing flip flop.
Yeah, first it was Jackson County, then it was Putnam County. Now it's expanded to Berkeley County, which is over in the eastern panhandle, Ohio County, which is the northern panhandle, Monongalia County, where the university is, and Greenbrier County.
Oh gosh.
So and I know
it's
that
an epidemic. Oh my God.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm strongly tempted when I do go and vote to try to video it or photograph it or something.
I want to. I take the cell phone to try it. But just to mention something. I was sitting here watching Oberman while I'm talking to you, just have sound off, and they put up their NBC map, and I noticed now that Indiana is now a toss-up state.
Oh, if only West Virginia was.
Well, you're not that deep red. You're at least it's a pink now, so hey, it's moving in that direction.
And I'm hoping that maybe there'll be some youth vote, but we don't, we don't have that many young people in the state anymore. That's a problem.
Well, I was wondering about that. The question on that, in West Virginia. Now, we good and well know that one of your senators is not going to make it much longer, I'm sorry to say. And the other one really needs to go, too. So has anybody warmed up in the bullpen?
Oh, gosh. Joe Manchin goes to sleep every night praying for Robert Byrd to die. He's our governor. Manchin is.
Oh, God.
And he wants to be in the Senate so bad he can taste it.
Okay. I was wondering if he's sitting there with his little doll sticking pins in it each and every.
Well, just about, because the thing is, he will be almost unassailable by the Republican Party, because as many Republicans vote for him as Democrats do.
Oh dear.
Because he is a Dino among Dinos.
Oh, okay. Now I was hoping you were going to tell me there was a real good blue Democrat you got.
We're trying to grow that, but it's just not there yet, Luke.
I understand. We're the same way down here. You know how it is. The Platt Avenger is about to be reelected, we think.
Yeah, well, he's like 112, isn't he, Lamar Alexander?
It's hard to tell. You know, it's one of those things. He kind of blends into the background when he stands against the wall. You don't notice him. You know, it's like those pictures, where the paint thing is until he moves. You don't actually see him.
Is that yours, by the way, the Platt Avenger, or is that just a
comp? Yeah, that's mine. Oh, you ought to see his campaign things. His campaign things in yards are essentially, it's like a red with a little bit, not a plaid, but sort of like an off plaid thing. I mean, and just Lamar. And it's like, oh, every once in a while I see one, I just want to swerve the cart.
Well, there's another new phrase for me, and I'm hanging on to that one for dear life, too. Off plaid.
Oh God!
That's right. That's right up there. That's right.
It's almost like it's airbrushed out, so you're not supposed to notice it. You know what I mean? It's not a heavy plaid. It's sort of a.
Well, I mean, so no credible opposition for him.
There's a fellow running, but he's one. It's one of those things that, like, say he's from middle toward West Tennessee. They probably could tell you more about him. I know the name, but I don't know that much about him, because they have essentially had almost one person in the primary from each end of the state, one from the middle, one from the center, one from the west, and one from the east, all running, and he's the one that got it. And like I say, I ain't hardly ever seen anything from him, but like I say, you know how it is, it's one of those
God, things. When's the last time he sponsored a bill?
Well, it's one of those things where the DNC around here doesn't tell you much. You know how it is, it's like, it's Tennessee, it's like, well, it's a write-off. You know what I mean? It's one of those things, the thing up in Minnesota where they're getting rid of the anti-American lady. We're sitting there going, can you all come down here and talk to Ms. Blackburn and say goodbye to her?
Yeah, she's, and see, I interchange Michelle Bachmann and Marsha Blackburn, unintentionally, because they're, same idiot, different makeup.
Yeah. One blonde, one a little bit more brunette. You know, it's interchangeable. You know, it's like I say, it's the one good thing of it is our third district person you'll never hardly ever see on TV, because when he does, your mind turns off, because his name is Zach Wump, and he's got an accent. Oh, God, kills me.
Yep.
Kind of like watching syrup drip.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, he's got one of those accents about, like, Tom DeLay's. You know, when you're sitting there, you listen to him about 5 seconds, and your mind just kind of starts phasing him out. Like static on the radio. You're just like,
kind of hit the side of your head with the heel of your hand. Just, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Till that part of the voice goes. You know how they say that, older people can't hear certain music? So that's why, like, you know how they used to do the thing, like, at the 7-Eleven used to play polka music?
Yeah.
Different kinds of music. They say that young people can hear it, older people can't. That's what it is for me or Zach. After a point, I don't hear him anymore. I see his lips moving, but there's just sort of
Yeah, it's kind of like having a mosquito.
Yeah, a mosquito attack.
No, I got to go check him out. He's a new one on me, so.
Well, now see, the big problem you got around here is most of the Democrats around here don't go against John Duncan, because believe it or not, we had one of the few Republicans who actually voted against the Iraq War.
Ah.
Yeah, he was against it. He said, this is stupid. Yeah, I gotta give him that much credit. At least he looked at it and said, this don't make any sense.
So he's looking like the smart Republican.
Yeah. You know, and it's one of those things, like, you know, this is Junior, so, you know, daddy was a congressman when I was a kid. And that was a long time ago.
You know, it's so sad talking about local districts and stuff. The district where I was raised, Alabama's 5th congressional district, the whole rest of the world is turning, you know, we're going to have a big old Democratic majority in Congress, yeah. And it's entirely possible, and I should have asked Matt Osborne about this earlier, it's entirely possible that the Republican will be elected to fill the seat being vacated by Bud Kramer. Bud Kramer was a Democrat, but nobody ever accused him of being a liberal or anything like that.
Yeah.
But he had that D by his name. And they in Alabama, they lit up a firestorm the other day because in giving an address at a church, the Democratic candidate for this open seat said, "We don't have anything to worry about from Arab terrorists. We have a lot of other things to worry about."
Oh, dear God.
Obviously, you know, yeah. I mean, you just, not that, don't say, to the point that the preacher, the right-wing preacher, and I know the guy, I recognize the guy's name, had to come out and say, that's not what he meant.
You know how it is. It's one of those things where if you don't say certain, the right party lines, if you've been, like, say, the person there for 20 years, they'll fry you over it, you know.
Oh, it just, yeah.
I know. Let me let you go on. I know you got some other.
All right. Well, look, good talking to you, and we'll talk soon, man.
I'll look forward to next week, all night, or.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna sleep in the day before or something. I gotta be ready to go till 3.
I'll take the day off after so I can stay up.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll talk to you later. Bye. It's our buddy Luke calling from East Tennessee. Meanwhile, over towards sort of southwest central Tennessee, votes are flipping there from Republican to Democrat in Decatur City, Tennessee, or Decatur County, Tennessee. I think that's in southwest central Tennessee. I know Decaturville, Tennessee is just a little bit north and west of the Alabama line. Yeah, flipping from Republican to Democrat, did the same thing in Davidson County, which is, I do believe, Nash Vegas. These things have just got to go. They've just got to go, that's all. Oh, and by the way, if you want it, I've got the link here. Matt sent it to me straight away. I've got the link here to his webpage with the Decider and the Duck Hunter. And it's a beautiful thing. Mighty talented guy, Matt. So, just if you want it, shoot me a note, bob@headonradio.com, and you can read it at your leisure. Darn fine political satire. Okie doke. So, about 10 minutes left in the program or so. Just a couple of things to finish off, and this is certainly not kicker material, but God, it's so indicative of what we're having to deal with. Our buddy David in Tennessee sent this along earlier today, and I read it, and it just made me want to retch, weep. Well, the story is as follows. Down in Mississippi, they actually have a series of historical markers that denote, there's about seven of them, I think, that denote the heinous race killing of young Emmett Till. And you know the story of Emmett Till visiting relatives in Mississippi. He was from Chicago. And some white thug thought that he had whistled at a white woman. And they dragged Emmett Till from his bed and tortured him and murdered him. And wrapped a cotton gin fan around his neck using barbed wire and threw his body into the Tallahatchie River. It was recovered later. His face was mangled, missing an eye, broken, this and that, just terrible. It was August of 1955. The murderers admitted their murder, and they were acquitted by an all-white jury. And so now there are signs in the area, including a sign that marks the site where his body was pulled from the river in 1955. The news article says vandals. I'm more inclined to call it what it is, racists. Tore the sign down. And they had to get a vehicle in to do it. And it's not the first time that vandals have targeted the memorials. Roadside marker on U.S. 49 in Greenwood, Mississippi, not too far from where John McCain's family, the stomping grounds are. That sign was stolen and replaced with another sign. Another sign was damaged earlier this year. And John Wilkie, maybe it's Wilkie, said, "We see where some large tar prints are right there where they pulled up from the sign and went straight to the bank of the river. We think they may have thrown it in there, but we're not for sure." Damn. But David said, in sending me the story, "Thank you, Mr. Nixon. Without your Southern strategy, this could not have been possible. Thank you, Rush. Thank you, Hannity. Thank you, hate speech radio and television." Yeah. And speaking of television, just to roll things out, the story was in the news over the weekend of the death of the young news anchor in Arkansas. She had been beaten to death in her home. Beautiful young lady, 26 years old, Ann Pressley. Morning news anchor on KATV, Little Rock, Arkansas. Police said she might have been a victim of a burglary because her purse was missing. Her credit card was used at a gas station sometime this week. So that's the best they've got. But we have a political candidacy in this country that is having rallies all over the country at which a hateful, vile, utterly unreal candidate is dog whistling to entire mobs of racists and thugs and murderous asses. And it's hard, or it was hard for me to look at this story and wonder if in all these rallies where Sarah Palin has howled about the gotcha media and the liberal media, if there wasn't a possibility that that was a motivating factor in this young woman's murder. Because you know as well or better than I that the thugs are on the march. They are terrified. They are ignorant. And far more likely than any riots by Obama supporters are open manifestations of hate and bloodthirsty rage by the right wing in this country. They are in a corner, and cornered rats, cornered anythings, lash back. And so this is, I recognize that this is pure speculation on my part. But it is hard not to make that speculation when you see this stuff in the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist congregation being shot up and the state director of the Democratic Party in Arkansas being murdered. And then at the bottom of the story, this one little note. One of them, one of the notes of Get Well that was sent her before she died came from director Oliver Stone. Presley made a brief appearance as a television commentator in the movie W. I guess that doesn't, I guess I don't qualify as able to pull those dots together. But how do you ignore that when you know how murderous the right wing is? Thanks again for joining in this evening. I hope you enjoyed your time with me as much as I enjoyed mine with you. Thanks to everyone who called, emailed, participated in the chat rooms, who listens live, who listens on podcast. Thank you. An update, thanks to some generosity, the generosity of listeners. We did cross the $1,000 threshold for the month. It is the 27th of October. We've got 4 days to try to get to what it takes to get us through a month. But you pushed us over the halfway mark, and thank you so very much to everyone who stands shoulder to shoulder to keep independent, liberal conversation going here at the Horn and available to whomever wants to listen. Thank you. We had a new listener chime in. We heard from a new listener, Susie. Says she's been enjoying the show for the last couple of weeks. Welcome aboard. She says it's really been doing my heart good. She says, I've already voted for Obama, the only real candidate. So thank you very kindly for tuning in, and let us know your thoughts anytime. Thanks to John Fox and Peter Godbold. Thanks to Ben Birch, the most overworked, hardest-working man in liberal talk, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the bravest, hardest-working people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ColeRiverWind.org. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
Go.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and it is cussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop renewal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome to a brand new, shiny little week here on the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob. Great to have you alongside for the beginning. I hope to be here all week long. I'm going to try to be. Let's see, a couple of program notes before we do sort of get into the meat of things, as it were. I just said I hope I will be. Yeah, but I'm going to be on the road Thursday. If you recall, we have had some fantastic speakers provided to us by the Seneca 2 series, and the same is the same is coming on this Thursday. So I'll be on the road to West Virginia State University in Institute, West Virginia, home of the Bayer Crop Sciences plant, where they still make store methyl isocyanate, so toxic that even third world countries won't allow it to be made there, but it's okay, you can make it among the hillbillies, because we don't really count. I mean, you know, not as like Americans or anything, we're strictly expendable, we'll breathe your coal dust and your methyl isocyanate and do whatever, you know, whatever you need to do to us to make a buck, that's okay. Sure thing. Why not? Yeah. Go ahead. So that's where I'll be Thursday, but we'll be broadcasting it live, so there will be a show. It might not start till like 7 p.m. Eastern time, but we'll see what's going on, and maybe Mark Levine might be interested in covering an hour. And I'm sure you'll give him plenty to talk about. So that's what we're looking at as the week rolls on. Where to begin? Breaking news, Senator Ted Stevens was found guilty on all the corruption charges with which he was charged. No surprise. The guy's so crooked, when he dies, they'll have to screw him into the dirt. But anyway, that's not the one that really said, start with me, Bob. No. Headline. ATF says it disrupted skinhead plot in Tennessee, Arkansas to assassinate Obama. You've probably seen this by now, but if not,